It's showtime.
Bob Kincaid, 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running for this Titanic Trump-tanic Tuesday, the 19th day of May, 2020. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tube. Many things going on at HeadOn.live, among other things. It's the easiest way to go about getting the podcast on whatever platform you use. It's also the easiest way to get the live stream if you prefer to listen to the program live. In our ordinary slot, Monday through Friday, 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time in the Pacific time zone. Did I say Pacific Daylight Time? I don't know. All times in the middle and on either end, all the way around the great globe. Yes. Hi, I'm Bob. And also at HeadOn.live, of course, is access to that magical place, the merry, wacky, zany, real-time, multimedia streaming extravaganza that is the Horn chat room in those self-same 3 hours each afternoon. Yeah, if you hop on over there right now, well, the folks are waiting on you. Early arrivers are right there, just eager to greet you. That would be Anatole and House of Roberts and Otto DeShot and Roger and Squeaky. I'm your moderator right now. Don't count on a lot of moderating from me. Sparky won't be along until a little later. He had a doctor's appointment this afternoon, so that's why he's not there. I don't know. Maybe Brother Deacon Asa can pop in, or maybe Steve from Georgia Stan, if he's not still up to his neck in work. Well, thank you very kindly, Billable Rick. The stream is coming in stronger than Arnold Schwarzenegger on HeadOn.live. I didn't know Arnold was ever on HeadOn.live, but, well, you live and you learn. Had a fun little note from our buddy Hung Like Jesus, who said, Bob, you're a bad influence on me. I got me a T-shirt coming that says, and I quote, put on a mask, you fucking plague rat. Can't wait to rock that down here in Trump Manistan. I'll report back. Do please, and preferably not from the hospital. What's the other one? I forget who. Maybe it was Ralph sent this along. I'm not sure. But there was another excellent T-shirt. If you're close enough for me to punch you in the face, you're too close. Back off. Yeah. So just a little giggle to get us started. Every program here at The Horn begins with gratitude. This program being no different. We're in the kind of lean portion of the month right now, but nonetheless, thanks to our partial sponsors of the program. Thank you so very much indeed. That would be thanks to Irwin, and thanks to Sharon, and thank you to Cecilia. Thanks very kindly indeed for being partial sponsors of the program and being part of the happy few, the 1 in 100 who listen to this program and actually help keep it on the air. Thank you so very much indeed. And, of course, well, if you'd like to be a subscriber, it's real easy. There's a little box that you check right there on the main page at HeadOn.live. And, you know, you put in the 10 bucks, the 1, the 0, the dot, the 0, the 0. And the next thing you know, you're out less than the cost of a package of chewing gum per day for the program. And probably, Well, it's less than an actual stick of gum per hour of programming when you get right down to it, which is pretty stunning, all things taken together. Hard times, I understand that. I know that. Believe me, I know that. And do not do anything that would harm yourself economically. Hopefully the rest of the community will figure out a way. We'll scrape and we'll dig and we'll do. And so we find ourselves with a fundraising goal this afternoon of $530. So that is, let's see, 530. That means that we've got 130 of Friday last week to catch up with, yesterday and today. So that's why it's 530. We're still not done with last week's fundraising. $130 in the hole yet. Just the same, we'll get through things one way or another. I thought I'd start with just a little update from round hereabouts, because this is, you know, this is the world I know. Corner of the universe here. Make West Virginia great big old Governor Jim Justice actually started out kind of handling the Rona the right way, but all it took was a few unmasked weirdos waving urine-colored snake flags and hollering about freedom, and he began to fall apart like a sandcastle being hit by the incoming tide. Mm-hmm. So now we're in reopening mode. And thank God we're in reopening mode, because that means that our gambling hells can open again. Yes, yes, our gambling dens can get back to beeping and squawking and ringing and hooting and in little teeny tiny spaces where it is physically impossible to engage in social distancing. Every one of these gambling dens is allowed to have 7 of the little no-armed bandits. And generally speaking, the people running them are trying to run them as cheaply as possible. So they're stacked, right, one on top of another. And it is going to be physically impossible to maintain social distancing inside these tiny little spaces. But by God, they're going to open again. Yes, yes, the gambling hells in this most Christian state, you know, Christianity saying that it is a grave, grave sin to wager and gamble and stuff like that. That's why Christianity is largely just, you know, a sham. It's a veneer. So our gambling dens will open somewhere between this Thursday and June the 5th. But it's not just our gambling dens. It's our malls, our bars, the casinos, museums. We've got museums in West Virginia. Yes, we've got museums in West Virginia. Make sure, I mean, you know, May 26th here in almost level, well, almost spiky west by Jim, Virginia, Stan. Effective May 26th, bars with indoor and outdoor seating limited to 50% of capacity, and indoor dine-in restaurants can reopen at 50%. But the bar area has to stay closed. But the bars can open on May the 26th, too. And state park cabins and lodges, they're going to reopen, but only for in-state residents. State park campgrounds will reopen Thursday, also only for in-state residents. And museums and visitor centers and zoos. Mm-hmm. The gambling hells open up on May the 30th, and the 5 casinos in the state open on June the 5th. I wonder what happens if you sneeze while you're in there, or cough. Yeah. But not to worry, they're on top of things. The State Lottery Commission has not yet released guidance to casinos and gambling hell operators for how to do social distancing after they reopen, because, like I said, in those aforementioned facilities, the machines are stacked right on top of each other. Yeah, that's going to work out great. Thanks. Thanks, make West Virginia great, big old Governor Jim Justice. Whatever would we do without you? Come November, hopefully we'll get to find out. On the other hand, make West Virginia great, big old Governor Jim Justice said, please be very cautious in what you do. We've got to crawl before we run. And God knows, I can't hardly do neither. Because, well, gluttony. But in no way, shape, form, or fashion do I want anybody to think that I have folded like a cheap suit. I am the wealthiest man in West Virginia, and I don't own no cheap suits. So if I folded, I folded like an expensive hand-tailored suit. So there. You understand me? Follow the fucking guidelines. Only we're not going to follow the fucking guidelines. Oh, no. No, because the other part of this is there's another reopening that's reached us. I'm proud to announce that our great tourism economy is going to open up, and we've got guidelines. It's not like our gambling dens where we don't got no guidelines. In no way, shape, form, or fashion do we not have guidelines for opening up our whitewater rafting outfitters in your New River Gorge and Gauley River areas. That's right. As Ralph points out, in no way, shape, form, or fashion have I folded myself into a pretzel trying to make all of these urine-colored snake flag wavers happy while we go about the business of killing West Virginians with a big old pandonic spike named for my dear friend, Donald J. Trump. The J stands for not really a billionaire. I am. So, yeah, we're going to reopen our whitewater rafting outfitters. The guidelines are kind of interesting. Because the nature of the whitewater rafting industry here, many people enjoy it. I just don't know if it's a good time to enjoy it for people like, folks from Ohio and Pennsylvania and South Carolina and Kentucky and Maryland, New York, and Indiana, etc. It's not a good time. But got to get them open. To hell with the people who live around here. We've, by God, got to open our whitewater rafting industry. But the thing is, so the way it works is you go and you stay at one of these resorts, and then you get on a crappy old reconditioned, rickety, rackety school bus, and you ride down, and they bring the rubber rafts with them on a trailer behind you, and then everybody gets in the rubber raft, and you got your life vests on, your helmets. Well, here's how it's going to work. Ain't no more than six people and one guide allowed to be on each raft. And can't nobody be on a raft who isn't friends or family who live together or traveled together or both to get at the location of their outfitter. And if it turns out that there's less than six people to a raft, you can't make it up with strangers, because that often happens. And whilst on the shuttle buses to and from the launch and takeout sites between the outfitters and the launch and the takeout or whatever, everybody on the bus has to wear a mask. They don't have to wear it at the outfitter, and they don't have to wear them whilst they're out on the river. But while they're in a bus in a confined space with not a lot of ventilation, they got to wear a mask. Maybe I'd say the odds are about 20% that they will. Because of course most of the people in these outfitters, among other things, are working for tips, and they're not going to flush their tip down the toilet by telling Mary Sue virus particle from Pennsylvania to put her damn mask on. I said poorly ventilated. The rules say that the rickety rackety old school bus has to have all the windows open. And there's 55 seats on every bus and can't be but 18 on the bus for social distancing purposes. But then they're all going to get in the raft, and it is impossible to socially distance in the raft. So they're going to be spraying and spewing at each other and the guide and back and forth, vice versa, during the course of the run. They want to do, they say wherever possible, which means, you know, if you feel like it, that credit card payments should be processed out of doors. Bear with me. There's a reason I started with all of this. The last one, because, I mean, they really put on a good show when you come here to do whitewater rafting. And usually there's a buffet lunch. And what it is you pull up on a sandbar or whatever, and you get out of the river, and the outfitter has a big old nice buffet lunch for you there, and you tuck into the feed bag, and then you get back on the river and hope that you don't hurl your lunch. Well, that was a little rough on dinner in the Eastern Daylight Time Zone now, wasn't it? Or late lunch in the Pacific. So no buffet lunches now. It'll be individually packed bag lunches. Which is interesting. You know, buffet versus packed bag lunch. And one of the reasons it's so doggone interesting is because of something that happened today up on Capitol Hill. As is custom, they put out, the White House put out his schedule. It didn't have this particular item on it, but some enterprising reporters later dug around and found out some surprising details. Jake Sherman got hold of the notice that went out to Senate Republican offices. Jake Sherman's with Playbook at Politico. Shows up on NBC and MSNBC from time to time. Like I said, it wasn't in Hadrian's daily schedule, but it turns out he was going to go today to Capitol Hill to have a luncheon with Republican members of the Senate. And digging around, Jake Sherman found one little notation in particular. The buffet will open early at noon. The buffet will open early at noon. The buffet. Now you see why I went to all the trouble to go through all the fucked upness with West Virginia whitewater rafting, and even they've got sense enough not to set out a buffet during a fucking plague, but not the Senate of the United States. And of course, well, Hydroxyhadrian doesn't have to worry about it because he's taken the hydroxy. He gets two hydroxies every night with two scoops of ice cream, and he just loves the rich, dark, chocolatey flavor. a buffet. Which got me to thinking. Yeah, all these assholes out there, I ain't going to wear a mask. It makes me breathe my own CO2 back in. We went through this at some considerable length last night. With what's-her-fuck from Dana Point, California, at the Gelson's supermarket. Bob, stop ruining our late lunches. Okay, Billable. Here, we're off and running. Stop telling us we're off and running, Bob. Okay, that too. The buffet will open early at noon in D.C., on Capitol Hill, in the Senate, which is full of ancient people, who all of whom are deeply at risk for being killed by the Rona. The buffet will open early at noon. You ever wonder why there's a sneeze guard at the salad bar? Oh, that's a good one, Brother Deacon Asa. D.T. Barnum, I see what you did there. D.T. Barnum told the rubes this way to the hydroxy, and they swarmed, hood over heels. That's a multi-layered piece of humor. D.T. Barnum, this way to the hydroxy, hood over heels. I'm gonna double jingle that one. Absolutely. Yeah. The buffet will open early at noon. And the minute I read that, I wondered maybe if Ben Sasse, that new and different kind of Republican, or maybe Rand Paul, libertarian ophthalmologist with that thing that's overtaken his head, would stand up for freedom! I demand in the name of freedom that all sneeze guards be removed from all salad bars. Because feed 'em, and because I ain't gots to be from nothing, got no sneeze guard on it, because it's in the Constitution. Right there next to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. I can't pursue happiness if I got to deal with sneeze guards over salad bars. It's un-American, I tells you. When salad bars without sneeze guards is outlawed, only outlaws will be able to go to salad bars without sneeze guards. Fucking fools. A buffet. Now, is there anybody who thinks that Hydroxyhadrian was going to stand there and go through the buffet? Course not. He's going to sit there in his chair and he's going to wait for, oh, I don't know, Daddy's Little Princess, you know, Mike Pence, to go and get him a plate. Or better yet, just bring him a Big Mac, two double Big Macs and a Diet Coke. Because, you know, you can't really trust those cooks down there in the Senate. Mm-mm. Some of them are probably anti-Trumpers. Trump enemies, as he likes to call them. Trump haters. Yeah, there's Billable Rick. Senate buffet. I can't think of anything more appealing than having a buffet in the middle of a plague. What could go wrong with a bunch of elderly senators having a mass luncheon? It appears that Mitch McConnell has been hard at work burnishing his moniker, the Grim Reaper. I don't know for a fact that this came off. It would surprise me. But no, he's... remember, he's immune now because he's taken the hydrox. One wise ass offered up the following menu. Buffet menu, Senate GOP luncheon, king of ventilator kale salad, remdesivir roasted beets, salmon with hydroxychloroquine horseradish sauce, reopen roasted rosemary chicken, mask-free filet mignon, what have you got to lose wild rice, lockdown layer cake, and no Joe coffees and teas. So this just kind of makes me wonder if the entire Republican staff contingent is so far down the rabbit hole that they themselves, sure, boss. I mean, you're 83. What have you, because see, that's something else that, Hydroxyhadrian declared earlier today. In point of fact, what he said is that, people who took hydroxychloroquine and then got all dead-like, well, it's not unexplainable. But the fact of the matter is, he said that anybody who died of hydroxychloroquine during the COVID pandemic, who took it and died, well, they were ready to die. And of course, it was beautiful. But I mean, because he said it was beautiful, and he wants to make sure that attention must be paid.
We have battled the invisible enemy. It is an invisible enemy. It's tough, but we're going to win, and we're going to win very big. But we can never forget all of the people that have been left behind, that have died for some reason that should have never happened. Should have never happened. You know that. I know that. And the people that caused the problem, they know that too. It's too bad.
Yeah, it's too bad. But the people who caused the problem, they know that too. And he was standing behind the microphone, pretty much confessing at that point in time. But, you know, they were ready to die. They just got left behind. Yeah. And he threw a tantrum, of course, over a VA review of the metadata. He said that there was a phony study put out by the VA. They gave it to people who were ready to die. Everybody was old, bad problems with hearts, diabetes. And the people who did that, they were obviously not friends of my administration. Because, you know, it was just, what does Roy Batty say in Blade Runner? Time to die. Yeah. This is the depth of his sickness and his paranoia. He thinks that there are researchers, physicians, who just gave hydroxychloroquine to people to kill them off, to personally embarrass Donald J. Trump. The J stands for epidemiologist. Wow. I wonder if Donald Trump's ever seen attack ships on fire off the shoulder of Orion. I wonder if he's ever seen the Tannhauser Gate. He's gone, and nobody will do a goddamn thing about it. Of course, there's not very many people that actually believe he's taking hydroxychloroquine. especially since his White House doctor issued a statement yesterday evening clarifying why he might be taking it, but not actually saying he was taking it. That left Kaylee Maganini in the unenviable position of having to justify this madness. Kaylee, who graduated from Harvard, you guys need to close, by the way. She said that him saying he was taking it proves he's taking it. And somewhere the ashes of Aristotle tried to gather themselves together to reconstitute themselves just long enough to fly ghostly-like over to Kaylee Maganini and, you know, slap the spit out of her mouth for doing such damage to the concept of, you know, logic and reason. Oh, well. So, I also kind of like the Skittles argument. I tuned into my filthy morning habit today, just in time to hear Joe Scarborough declare, no way in the world is he taking that. A physician somewhere along the way that I heard said, listen, if he is taking it, it is because his physicians are scared to damn death. Because he's a walking bundle of risk factors. Shitty heart, morbidly obese. By the way, Nancy Pelosi referred to him as being morbidly obese earlier today. She said, shall we say, morbidly obese? And I thought, yes, Nancy, yes, we shall. But as Darlene points out, it wasn't enough. She went ahead and piled on a little bit of extra shade. Talking to Republicans, Hydroxyhadrian said, I don't respond to her. I think she's a waste of time. She's sick. She has mental problems. And it's like she was waiting for him to walk into the trap, and then she pulled the little string. The loop grabbed him by the ankles. The stay popped loose, and the next thing he knew, he was hanging upside down 30 feet up in a tree. Because Nancy Pelosi followed up saying, I didn't know he'd be so sensitive. He's always talking about other people's weight, their pounds, so I don't want to spend any more time on this distraction because, as you see in the last couple of days, so much of the time has been spent on what he said rather than that I think he should recognize his words weigh a ton. yeah. His words weigh a ton. Oh, beautiful moment. Beautiful moment. And such is, you know, such is the day, this day that of Trumptanic intellect. And here's one that gave me chills. Someone, some booker, went and chased down Count Dicula's cardiologist. Mm-hmm. Dr. Jonathan Reiner, among other things, served as cardiologist to former Vice President Count Dicula. And they booked him on CNN, where he was interviewed and declared that, well, let's let Sanjay and Dr. Reiner sort this out.
There are side effects to hydroxychloroquine. You don't just take this on a lark. There are. I was just mentioning to John that I have a friend who took hydroxychloroquine a few years ago because she was going on a trip and would be exposed possibly to malaria. She said it caused the craziest dreams, horrible sleep, and I read that some of the side effects are mood swings. And so, of course, how would that not be affecting the President of the United States' judgment? There are also psychological consequences or emotional of this drug.
Right. I think the last thing we need is this president to have mood swings. But the drug's most.
Wow. When Count Dicula's cardiologist says we don't need presidential mood swings. Sheesh. Hang on tight. Maybe get the hockey puck.
Consequential side effect is a malignant cardiac arrhythmia that can kill you. Now, the White House doesn't really use the kinds of rules that we use out in the community. They have access, 24-hour access to their patient, and they can do things that docs in the community can't do. So they have ways of actually mitigating that risk. I agree with Sanjay completely. This drug is unproven, and the data that we have suggests that it doesn't work or can be harmful. So no one in this country should use it in the manner the president is using it. But the White House medical unit obviously made a calculated decision that they considered his risk of taking the drug to be lower than his risk of potentially contracting the virus. And in my calculations, I think his risk, based on all of the comorbidities that you mentioned in the lead-in, he probably has about a 15 to 20% risk of dying from this virus should he contract it. And they almost certainly...
Whoa. And that's not him. That's not Dr. Reiner just yanking numbers out of his gazoo. 15 to 20% chance of shuffling off this mortal coil if he contracts the Rona. That's way higher than the national average. Bob, don't tell us how to feel about 15 to 20% chance of Trump dying. Okay, I won't.
He did a calculus and felt that the odds favored him taking it without any clear efficacy data to support that. Very unusual, but it does speak to how worried they were about him last week.
Yeah, that's a separate issue, right? How scared he actually is of getting sick. And we know he's a germaphobe here. We knew he blew up at people behind the scenes when he found out people in the White House were sick. Sanjay, we also know...
Yeah, you see, that's the thing. This injects another layer of uncertainty into the situation. Did the valet... Where did the valet... Because you'll notice they haven't said... Now, this is the White House, and they're going to contact Trace like crazy. What if the valet and Frau Goebbels got it from him? What if he's the disease spreader? It actually makes more sense than just about anything else. Because he's the one running around without a mask. He's the one who kept on shaking hands. He's the one who was in proximity to people who got it, and even people who got it and died. Worth considering. Yeah, going back to that that line from Nancy Pelosi, his words weigh a ton. Darlene in Connecticut says, this is what Biden needs to do more of. Take a page, Joe. Punch him And while he's sitting there rubbing his jaw, punch him again. Figuratively speaking. With the subject line, Jesus, Bob. Robert in Australia says, I'm watching the death numbers. You're at 90,000 dead Americans. You're steady at a 6% mortality rate. At that rate, the U.S. will be over 100,000 before the end of May, if not sooner. Congrats, I suppose. P.S. Rafting? Whitewater rafting? We're in the middle of a worldwide pandemic. Let's go rafting. It sounds cruel, but if you're that stupid, well, here's your Darwin Award. You'd be surprised how many stupid people will be showing up here as of Memorial Day and later. And our, you know, again, it's weird. 6 cases to the county north, in the county north of us, 10 cases in the county south of us, 38 cases here. And I know that that doesn't even begin to compare with the number of cases in massive places like New York City. The problem is, if this thing takes off, we're so fucked we can't even imagine it. Because one of the reasons we got 38 cases here is because there was a big outbreak in one of only 2 hospitals in the county. So there's that. Yeah, we will be past, probably well past 100,000 by the end of May. And in terms of trying to sort that out, the number of dead Americans we have now would overflow Mountaineer Field at my beloved West Virginia University. There's just not enough seats to accommodate all the dead people from the Rona in this country. Here's another way to visualize it. 159 years ago, we had a civil war. And just using nice round numbers, that civil war killed 600,000 people. A little more than half of them were Americans. The other number were Confederates who had declared themselves no longer desirous of maintaining American citizenship and took up arms and began trying to kill their former countrymen. And those who died outside the boundaries of American citizenship. That's why it drives me crazy every time I hear something. 600,000 Americans died in the Civil War. No, they didn't, you ignorant fuck. Around 400,000 Americans died in the Civil War. 200,000 traitors died too. And they died traitors. Well, here's another way to look at where we're headed with Hydroxyhadrian and the pandonic. By the end of June, based upon current projections, Donald J. Trump, the J stands for Jefferson Davis, will be more than halfway toward the number of Americans killed over the course of 4 years of civil war. And he will have done it not in 4 years, but in 5 months. Because remember, starting in June, we're expecting to see 3,000 deaths per day. Only this time it won't be a majority from, say, New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Connecticut, Massachusetts, Michigan. This will be from the heartland. This will be from Texas and Mississippi, Alabama, and dear God, Georgia. Yeah. True enough. Our pal Fab says, Fab, the author of the Fab Machine that gets this program out every evening, Fab says, Nancy is a master. I'm sure as a result and out of spite, he gobbled up a few triple burgers and fries with a Diet Coke, of course. Absolutely. Sometimes people just like the flavor. Have another double Big Mac there, Don. Looking for the music in between the notes, Flavio says, I'm
taking hydroxychloroquine.
Simply means that the Pompeo Saudi scandal has some real legs to it. Yeah, there's an argument to be made there, too. Hey, thank you, Jeremy, for getting us started. We are now on the way to knocking down some of the deficit. We've got 525 bucks to go to get caught up. Into the Valley of Rona, a road that some historians say that more Civil War casualties resulted from disease than gunshot wounds, says Irish Dave. Yeah, it's possible. Although at places like Antietam and the Hornet's Nest at Shiloh, yeah, it was pretty lethal business. As for opening up and watching the disease spread, David in South Carolina stances, Myrtle Beach is wide open. Cheers. Wait till you see videos from Myrtle this weekend. Certainly we will have some fine folks from West Virginia down here frolicking about so they can take the Rona back home to share with their friends and neighbors. This is a bomb. Yeah, it is, David, and that's why I keep trying to explain that he is waging biological terrorist warfare on this, our country. Down with sneeze guards! Freedom! James in Illinois says, well, if he has it, just a matter of a very short time, and they're going to be freaking out about succession and how they'll be wanting to do all they can to be keeping Pence alive and be begging the moron to resign in order to attempt to fill the VP vacancy because Nancy Pelosi. Yeah, that's a whole different kettle of fish, and it is a giant mess. I think I may even have it tucked away somewhere. Yeah. Bloomberg had an article about a week ago by Joshua Green and Jennifer Jacobs, and the headline reads, If the President Tests Positive for the Virus, What Happens? Makes you wonder if somebody in the White House may have read it. They write, The news last week that President Trump's valet and Vice President Pence's press secretary, Frau Goebbels, I added the Frau Goebbels part, had both contracted the coronavirus, sent a scare through the White House. And I've read a bunch of stories about the valet and Frau Goebbels, and none of them, like I said, mentioned contact tracing or give any indication of where either of these very fine people might have picked up the Rona. What if the vector is inside the White House? Have you checked the children? So the question becomes, what happens if Trump or Pence is stricken or worse? What if both become ill at the same time? And they go into an examination of the 25th Amendment, similar to that which we have talked about here on numerous occasions. And among the things that the authors of this article, Green and Jacobs predict. Markets would almost certainly drop on news of a presidential diagnosis. That according to Ian Bremmer, the president of Eurasia Group. Nice to know that's the first consideration. Whatever show... The virus is coming from inside the house. Have you checked the markets? But it becomes a question of... what happens if he gets it? Ian Bremmer went on to say, if Trump were to get it and quarantined in the residence but stays in charge of the government and is tweeting like crazy, I think there'd be de minimis market impact. I don't give a fuck about the market impact. I care about the Constitution. Can he perform the duties of the office if he's in quarantine? Here's another fun one. How do you quarantine the president of the United States? What if he doesn't want to? Then there's a discussion of the 25th Amendment. And well down into the article, this. In the grim and statistically unlikely case that one is needed, a roadmap also exists for what would happen if the president and vice president were both to pass away. Quoting Ilya Salman, a law professor at George Mason University, in that event, the line of succession is clear. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi would take over. I know, everybody's sitting out there going, snickering into their sleeves. But the articles, the author of this article, authors, say, but constitutional experts warn that chaos could ensue if both Trump and Pence were to become incapacitated by COVID-19, because the law provides little clarity on resolving such a scenario. Clarity schmarity, it says the Speaker of the House becomes the president. On the other hand, Brian Cult, a law professor at Michigan State University, says, yeah, it'd be a real shit show that could result in a full-scale constitutional meltdown. It would immediately go to court, and they'd have to decide real quick what to do, because not knowing who the president is, even for a couple of hours, could be extremely perilous for the country. I'm not so sure about that, and I'm not so sure that there's no clarity. And I'm not sure if the court would have anything to decide. The 25th Amendment declares how the succession works. What? Mike Pompeo, who graduated first in his class at West Point, is going to sue to say, no, I want, in the name of Jesus, I want to be president. Fuck the Constitution, which has kind of been his modus operandi for a while now. And the idea that the Speaker of the House would become the president goes back to the Presidential Succession Act of 1947. But Brian Cult from Michigan State doesn't like that. No. The article then discusses that during Watergate, in the 8 weeks between Spiro Agnew's resignation and Gerald Ford's confirmation, the vice presidency was vacant, putting Democrat House Speaker Carl Albert next in line for the White House, should Richard Nixon have shuffled off the mortal coil. At the time, Carl Albert was asked the question by a responsible journalist and answered that if that were to happen, then he were to become president, he would immediately appoint a Republican vice president and then resign, rather than let his party appear to usurp power. It's not appearing to usurp power. It's how the succession works. On the other hand, Brian Cult, who seems to be a glass-half-empty kind of guy, says, that's hardly a scenario you could count on today. And we are then informed that the self-same Professor Cult has urged the Congress to rewrite the succession law of 1947 to make the Secretary of State the next in line after the president and vice president. See, here's the reason you don't do that. Nobody ever votes for the Secretary of State. The president is elected, even if in the case of Donald Trump, he's elected through the mechanics of an antiquated anachronism inserted in the Constitution to pacify slaveholders, namely the Electoral College. He's still somebody got to, he ran for office. And the same for the vice president. Wait for it. And the same for the Speaker of the House. Granted, she only ran in one district, her congressional district, but she has stood for, she had stood for election and been, and been approved in the line of succession. After Speaker of the House comes the President Pro Tem of the Senate, someone who has, again, won statewide election. And in the case of both the Speaker and the President Pro Tem of the Senate, they have both won elections within their own governing bodies. None of that can be said about the Secretary of State. Merely at best that he has been confirmed by some bare majority of members of the Senate. On the other hand, asked about this, the White House said, oh no, nothing to worry about. We got this covered. We got a plan. Yeah, just like they had a plan for the Rona. Sure. And Steve in New York says, if the Speaker becomes president, this will happen. The heads of every maggot would instantly and simultaneously explode. Oh, damn, what a mess. On second thought, I don't want to clean that up. I hope that doesn't happen. Also this, Steve notes, that the Speaker, as a member of the House, has received the votes of the majority of the people in the person of their representatives. Because unlike the Senate, the House is population apportioned. Whereas the President Pro Tem of the Senate, when there's a Republican majority, has been approved by the majority of cattle in the Republican states. Seeing as how they outnumber human beings. And then there's Edith Wilson, back in the dim mists of history 100 years ago. Lee in New York says, Republicans will have President Melanoma Trump before President Nancy Pelosi. Mitch will swear daily meetings with POTUS to stop Democrats. Edith Wilson was believed to be president for a year. Melanoma will only need a half a year. And can she even be, could she even, no. But then she'd have to come out and stand to the podium and deliver speeches like this and tell us to be dressed. Oh, wait, that's her personal motto. Her motto for us is be best. Hers is just be dressed. Yeah, and two words, Alexander Haig, I'm in charge here. Signed, your buddy Dave in the blunt. I'm coming home tomorrow. Good to know it. I hope you're feeling okay, Dave. Hey, thanks to Todd in South Carolina, Stan, jumping in. That gets us down to 515. Thank you, Todd. Thank you kindly. We're only $115 away from being finished with last week. Thank you indeed. Then there's the question of eligibility. Lee pointing out the Secretary of State does not have to be eligible to be president. Example, Madeleine Albright. Bob, stop telling us we have to wear clothes. That from Billable Rick. I mean, you know, after all, naked radio, right?
Fascinating stuff, this question of succession. And something, you know, something there is that makes me think that even though the 25th Amendment makes things fairly clear, this could become a hot mess on the double quick. Interesting, Brother Deacon Asa. Hey, we're rolling along now. Thank you to James in Illinois. We are slowly knocking out last week's deficit, and there's only $105 to go in it now. Thank you very much. Oh, let's see. I just realized, yeah, it's Tuesday. That means at least theoretically, yes, that we have one of my favorite parts of the week, the Green News Report. Brad Friedman, Desi Doyen. Because there's a super cyclone churning in the Indian Ocean. Because even though we're all wrapped up in our coverage of the Rona, climate change is not taking a holiday. Mm-mm, no. Because climate change doesn't do that. So here at the top of the hour, let's see what Brad and Desi have in store for us. Take it away, you crazy kids.
It's Tuesday, May 19, 2020.
The ranges of storm surge could be anywhere between 10 and 15 feet.
Powerful cyclone headed for one of the world's poorest regions amid a pandemic. Man-made climate change leading to more intense hurricanes. Trump EPA refuses to limit toxic chemical in your drinking water. Plus,
physics and chemistry matter, that you can't spin them. They don't negotiate. They're not going to compromise with you. You have to do what they say.
What the COVID crisis should teach us about the climate crisis.
All of those lessons and more straight ahead from bradblog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
Biology just doesn't care. It doesn't care that it's causing a recession, you know? It's not going to back off because it's an election year.
See? That's why you can't trust biology. Too partisan. This is your Green News Report. Okay, Desi Doyen, as if things aren't bad enough with the COVID crisis, now we're entering storm season.
Yes, we are. And we're about to see the first major collision of two simultaneous disasters, a destructive cyclone amid the global coronavirus pandemic. As we go to air, Tropical Cyclone Amphan, now a Category 4 equivalent, is forecast to make landfall Wednesday in low-lying Bangladesh and northeast India. Amphan is already the strongest cyclone ever recorded in the Bay of Bengal, with a projected storm surge of 13 to 16 feet, making it an extremely serious threat to one of the world's poorest and most vulnerable populations already struggling with the pandemic.
That's not good.
Nope. Here in the U.S., the first named storm of the Atlantic hurricane season, Tropical Storm Arthur, has formed. Not expected to hit the U.S., but Arthur marks the sixth year in a row that a subtropical or tropical tropical storm has developed before the official start to the hurricane season on June 1st. That used to be rare, according to the Weather Channel, but studies indicate it is becoming increasingly common due to ocean warming. U.S. coastal states are now scrambling to prep for mass evacuations and shelters complicated by the pandemic. And now a new study published on Monday finds that man-made global warming is making hurricanes and cyclones stronger. Scientists analyzed 40 years of satellite data, finding for the first time a statistically significant global trend, especially in the Atlantic. They found that wind speeds of hurricanes, typhoons, and cyclones have increased almost 10% per decade over the last 40 years, making it much more likely that a given hurricane will intensify into a Category 3, 4, or 5 storm.
So you mean as we're all worried about the coronavirus crisis, Mother Nature ain't paying attention. She's moving straight ahead with the climate crisis.
Indeed. And these findings are in line with climate scientists' predictions of how hurricanes will respond to global warming. Meanwhile, the Trump Environmental Protection Agency has announced it won't set stronger limits on the toxic chemical perchlorate, a byproduct of rocket fuel that has contaminated groundwater around the country. It causes brain damage in children. The New York Times reports that the Trump EPA acknowledges the damages perchlorate causes, but argues that further regulation is unnecessary.
So when he talked about doing away with regulation, that would be rocket fuel for our economy, apparently what he meant was doing away with regulations that ensured rocket fuel would be in our drinking water?
Yes.
Great.
In politics, presumptive 2020 Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden.
Who?
Joe Biden.
Oh.
Has named Democratic Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez of New York to lead his campaign's climate task force, along with former U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry. It's a sign that the Biden campaign is attempting to bridge the divide among Democrats and appeal to progressives and youth voters.
So I guess the progressive and youth voters, that's AOC, not John Kerry.
Right.
Okay.
Biden also pledged on Monday that if elected, he would cancel permits for the controversial Keystone XL pipeline. Finally, CBS's 60 Minutes on Sunday focused on how society might change post-pandemic, as has happened after every previous pandemic in history, noting how fast clean air and water rebounded with less fossil fuel pollution. They asked longtime climate activist Bill McKibben about what the COVID crisis can tell us about the climate crisis.
Maybe we still have a window to take a step back. And if we do, maybe the Earth will meet us halfway.
You're saying flatten another curve.
Flatten another curve. Flatten the carbon curve, too. And if we did that, then people might look back in 50 years at this time and thank us, you know, instead of curse us, because those are the two possibilities.
I'm guessing it's going to be the cursing us part.
But we still have a choice.
But we still have a choice. You're so optimistic.
I try.
For much more on all of these stories and the ones we couldn't get to today, check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. Don't forget, you can download our reports anytime via Stitcher, TuneIn, Apple, or Google Podcasts. Find us, follow us, and share us planet-wide on the Facebooks and the Twitters at Green News Report. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
I won't cry, it'll make things worse. And I'm your curse. I'm your curse, I'm your curse.
Yeah, I've seen some satellite imagery of Cyclone Amphan. And it's like the Bay of Bengal just isn't there anymore. It's just all covered up with storm. And God, when you drill down like on Google Earth or in any other thing that give you an idea of topography, it's all just river mouths and delta land, all the way from Kolkata over into Bangladesh. I checked on the COVID-19 map, and Bangladesh reports to the ability of that destitute nation's ability to even measure, largely relying on the World Health Organization. See, that was one of those things that pissed off Hydroxyhadrian, was that the World Health Organization was giving away COVID-19 tests to poor countries so that they could try to get a handle on outbreak there. But they wanted wealthy nations to pay for the damn things. Well, that ain't
That's not capitalism.
But Bangladesh confirms 25,121 cases of SARS-CoV variant 2-19 and 370 deaths that they know of. And that's the thing, when this thing has finally passed, then the statisticians will get down to the brutal business of sorting out the statistical excess deaths, and then we will know the real impact of this. For instance, right now, if we're at 91,000, there's a good chance that we're actually at 150,000. You see what I mean? And if we are at near 200,000 by July 1, it's probably going to be more like 300,000. At which point, he really is in Civil War territory. And for all intents and purposes, these last 3 years have shown him to be what we knew him to be. We just didn't maybe have a name for it. He's the second president of the Confederacy. That's all. That's all. The J stands for Jefferson Davis, like I said. All right, let's run over and check in with Todd. Hey, Todd.
Bob, how are you doing tonight?
Yeah, I'm okay. I made a little bit of a mistake. I've told before about our, we don't have a great Chinese restaurant here.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, we have okay. And I happened to notice the light on, the open sign on, and they've got it all set up for carry out, no sitting down or anything. But it's been a long time since I had any Singapore rice noodle, Singapore Mei Fun. And I was rather hungry. All I'd had earlier today was a little thing of yogurt. And so I called in my order of Singapore Mei Fun and got back here. And about an hour and a half before airtime, I tied into it. Because I was hungry. But the thing is, when I start the program maybe I'm a little sluggish. I hope I'm not, but I just feel a little slow.
That sounds actually good because, you know, Mei Fun, if you're really famished and you start gorging on the Mei Fun, you get that, you know, your blood glucose
goes up, you know, because the pasta is all starch and carbs and you got that yummy roasted pork tucking in there and some good protein from the scrambled egg and the onion and it's all nice and curried.
See. You know, some people listen to A Splendid Kitchen.
A Splendid Table? Yeah, I love it.
But I'm sorry. Yeah, you know, I messed names up. Right. And so apparently the current host is Filipino. And I remember, I talked about this before, but last year he was talking about, you know, food from when he was growing up and how, you know, how wonderful, you know, fried rice is from scratch because you can use leftovers and when you make it fresh. And I just followed. I had most of the stuff in there. You have to have fish oil. I mean, there's a couple of things you want to really set it off. But I went online and looked at the recipe again. It's just really simple. But, you know, any type of, when you have the egg and the rice and the chopped up wonderful pieces of meat, like I'm thinking, you know, Kaneka maybe. There's so many ways you can run with it.
Kaneka,
you know what I mean?
Kaneka fried rice is not shabby. I can guarantee that.
See, that's good eating, and you have the Blackstone. You know, you can be out there just doing crazy stuff.
Yeah, but it was not to be today because we had 3 days of good weather, and apparently this spring in Appalachia, that's the outside limits of it. So we're back. There's this there's this high pressure system that's off the East Coast, and there's this low pressure system that's coming down from far Canoodlia, and there's another low pressure system pushing up from the Gulf, and so we've just got a bunch of shit parked right over West Virginia that ain't going anywhere.
Okay.
Because it's like some old comedy routine with those three fronts going, you first, no, after you, no, after you, no, after you. We'll all just stand here and let West Virginia get wetter.
The chipmunk fronts.
Yeah, exactly. No, after you. After you. No, I couldn't possibly.
My dear, no. Yeah.
So wow. it's kind of 60-ish outside. Real gray, raining off and on all day. So I didn't get to have my outside fun today.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that, but, you know, you're probably not the only one, unfortunately.
No. And yeah, it just means that marching into the further reaches of the backyard with the weed eater is going to be even more fun as soon as it dries out again. I'll be able to cut it for hay.
Yeah, you'll be working.
But since I mentioned my Singapore Mei Fun, I think I've already eaten, so that's okay to open my fortune cookie. And and it says, "We are taught by every person we meet," and of course, if you apply the ancient in bed rule to this, it makes even more sense. We are taught by every person we meet in bed. Because all fortune cookie fortunes make more sense if you add in bed to the end of the sentence.
That's interesting.
Oh, did you not know the in bed the in bed law?
I'd never heard of that.
Yeah, take any fortune cookie fortune, add the words in bed to the end of it, and it will make more sense than it made without it. Because, I mean, isn't it true? We are taught by every person we meet in bed.
Well, that's
yes.
True.
Yes, just yes. It's okay to just say yes.
I did say that, yes. I mean, yeah. I mean, you know, there's a lot of ways to go with that. But that is true. There's a lot that happens when people break physical bread.
Yeah.
You know, some people say that you're always connected with that person on some level once you've done what baboons do. Or I don't. That's a terrible example. That's not what I mean. Not at all. But I mean just, you know.
Well, what's that old song from several years ago? You and me, baby, we ain't nothing but mammals. Let's do it like they do on the Discovery Channel.
Yeah. You know, it's springtime. It's when you start picking people up out, you know, just meet people and you know, social distancing be damned, but not this year. Hey, listen, your program, I'm not trying to shift gears too much away, but I need to know, what makes that Mei Fun Singapore?
It's just what it's the fact that it's got curry in it.
Okay. Yeah.
I looked it up one time. Apparently, and our Singapore listenership can check in on this, what we know in American Chinese restaurants as Singapore rice noodle has nothing to do with Singapore any more than, you know, that famous General's Chicken has anything to, because, you know, he was on the march, and they were going to and they were trying to get the mandate of heaven for a new emperor, and he stopped along the way and said, you know, it's going to be a big battle tomorrow. Have you guys tried my chicken? Yeah, because that didn't happen.
I don't know anything about the origin of that name at all in general. So, I mean, somebody just made that up. It's just, but, you know, people like it. People like it. And that's chicken thigh.
It's good stuff.
It's good stuff, you know, and shoot, everybody likes that. You can please everyone because you can also make it taste like anything you want. Really. I mean, you can go sweet hot and go sweet sweet. So, how much do you have left of your Mei Fun?
Oh, I've got enough. I've got enough left for a nice snack. for, you know, for after the program.
Now, when I was in a bigger city, I used to get the dried Kung Pao peppers. And when I would make that, you know, egg fried rice at home, you really want to do Kung Pao. And I even started growing them. They're really, I mean, they're pretty hot. You know, when you had those fresh ones that you grow and you dry them, there's a lot. There's a lot in there. A lot of heat. But.
Oh, no. Wait, are you talking about the Szechuan peppercorns?
Maybe they come from that. These are Thai hot peppers. They're really short.
Oh, no, Thai hot peppers are a different thing. I thought you were talking like the little prickly, they're called Szechuan peppercorns, but they're like prickly ash or something like that, and they're so hot they'll numb your tongue. They're not chilies.
No, I have those also. That's a different animal. The food. Wow, so much food. And I could talk about food all night. And, you know, last time we talked about the angel hair pasta. And so I don't know if anyone has eaten that lately. But you don't even need meat on it. Just the cheese and the pasta and the olive oil and the seasoning. And
I'm not pure carnivore. No, not by any stretch of the imagination. I've been working on something here, and it's going to take me a minute, but you called in, and it immediately put me in mind of something I had seen a few days ago. There are there are days. Let's put it this way. I have a clip here, and I just have to figure out a way to play it so we can both enjoy it in its fullest.
Mm-hmm.
There are just days when I can't imagine being someone who works on camera at C-SPAN.
Mm.
And we've got I've got one of those here, and I want to see if it'll actually play.
Mm-hmm.
Some of this just gets so damn complicated.
You know, their website is incredible. It's clunky, but that's okay because it's free. And their search engine, you know, they archive our whole existence in America. Anything political is on there.
Yeah, our governmental existence.
Right. Yes. Just like I don't want to get mixed up here, but I sent you an email, and I was shocked. I don't know, maybe I was reading or hearing between the lines, but I just was frightened by what I heard the Attorney General say the other day. After talking about the Pensacola shooting,
that he's going to come up with a new list and we can just watch for enemies of the president. That basically, in a nutshell.
Yeah. Well, right. In other words, they're following. They have planned. They're going to follow through on the accusatory people, investigate the investigators. They're going to put them in the gulag. See, I think we had to have our eyes wide open.
What really kind of made me run screaming out the door and eating dirt and running rabbits over that was the fact that this guy who shot up the Naval Air Station there in Pensacola was an active member of Al-Qaeda and wasn't trying to hide it. And just as an added bonus, had him some kiddie porn along the way, too. Great guy.
Oh, really?
Yeah, oh, yeah. His buddies knew he was Al-Qaeda, didn't say anything, but, you know, the Saudis are our partners in peace, so, you know, that.
Yeah, that part was what I was concerned about. Now that it's come to light about Pompeo, you know, greenlighting this arms sale to the Saudis, like, we haven't had enough, maybe it's time to take a pause on that for a minute. you know, with the Saudis, and then, you know, it's a lot there. And that's what I'm saying. This coup is really in effect. If Ratliff gets, he's going to get nominated.
Oh, he's been nominated. He's going to get confirmed, yeah.
Confirmed, I mean, right, because we don't have the votes. And he's a lackey. I mean, this, he couldn't make it through last time. This is some, we had to pay attention.
Yeah,
here.
This is the classic example of being a lickspittle.
Yeah.
But what I was saying earlier, there are days that, you know, everybody, as I think either you or Steve from Georgia Stan or both of you have pointed out, everybody at C-SPAN is Pedro. Pedro is
everybody. Okay, good.
Yeah, Pedro is all of us. So we're going to have a little technical moment here, and we're going to see if you can hear what's coming across on this other channel.
Okay.
I can't remember what time the liquor stores open in Washington, D.C. But if I was Steve Scully or Pedro or any of the others, I'd be stopping by for a 2.5 gigaliter Nebuchadnezzar of old panther piss before I even walked through the door. And I'd have, you know, fuck the shot glass. I'd have an iced tea tumbler. So it was,
what date is this? Is this from today?
Nah, this is a couple of days ago.
Okay.
When Steve went into work and had to take a call from a guy in Minnesota who wanted to explain to him all about the Rona. Let's see if you can hear this. Let's see if everybody can hear this.
To try to weaken a challenger. The story this morning from the New York Times. Brad is next. International Falls, Minnesota. Good morning.
Good morning, Steve. I think that you need to start getting some people on to answer true questions. And the true question is this. The question would be, is the Corona Chinese Wuhan virus, is it a natural occurrence which...
And you'll notice he's trying to work all of his smears in there in one fell swoop. The Corona Chinese Wuhan virus. Because I guess there's another Wuhan besides... But he's been carefully taught by the international propagandists and the people who, you know, your Rush Limbaughs and your Hannitys and your Jeanine Pirros and whatnot and your Robert, what's his ass that we had the clip from. You need to get some truth tellers in there about the Chinese Wuhan coronavirus. This asshole's probably another one of those soft-skulled, simple-minded fucks who's seen Plandemic.
Thing, or was it man-made? And if it's man-made, we got bigger problems than what you can even shake a stick at. But I'm going to give you the
best. Brad, as you know, Dr. Fauci had said that it is not man-made.
He doesn't know that. Nobody knows that because they found that had any identifications with the same virus was over 800.
Yeah, the bat didn't have any identification, Todd. You got that? It was an unidentified bat.
I heard this live.
Unscannable!
It's going to get better.
Oh, dear God.
Miles away, and there was no bats in that supposed whatever you want to call the buying center where they were selling.
In Wuhan. How do you know that?
Need to start. Have any doubt, had any identifications with the same virus, was over 800 miles away, and there was no bats in that supposed whatever you want to call the buying center where they were selling.
In Wuhan. How do you know that? What's your source to that, Brad?
Well, I can't source the actual paper that wrote it or the person that said it. It's a fact. But
Wait. Is this a double whammy, Todd? Is this also a great moment in a great moments in English language moment? I can't source the paper what's roted. Did I just hear that?
He's nervous.
Well, that's because he knows that he's breaking silence, and the deep state's listening. And Q may not be able to help here.
Okay.
And they're probably monitoring the broadcast down there in the in the basement of Comet Ping Pong Pizza, where there's no basement. And the 5G, the 5G's beginning to rot my mind, Steve.
You have it. You have it. You got it dead on, because that's exactly what he's thinking. Like, he thinks that he's doing us a favor by offering his information that he knows from inside sources. And he's doing the American
public. I mean, he doesn't know the guy who said it, or the paper where it was wroted, but he knows that was an unidentified flying bat.
Let me ask you this question. I heard this live, and I watched it live. Now, I remember Steve Scully's eyes. They were like red. They started bugging out. It looked like he
was I'm looking at that right now. He's like,
am I kidding?
No, you're not. I mean, his eyes are as big as hen's eggs. And he's
angry. You're going to see that motherfucker. I'm sorry.
And one of these days, Steve or Pedro or who the fuck ever, in the middle of one of these, is just going to reach very quietly down under the desk and pull up that 2.5 gigaliter Nebuchadnezzar of old Panther piss and pour an iced tea glass full of it and just knock it down.
It's too much, and this constant drumbeat of, I knew you people were Democrats. You leaning left. And you know, every you get about maybe 30% of the callers think that.
I refuse to eat in any restaurant what's got one of them Marxist liberal communist sneeze guards over the salad bar.
Because I'm a
free man. I am.
You got the meme right dead on it. This is what. This is what I've observed from, you know, the arguments that you hear these people use. And it's really unfortunate. But this is where we are. And like you said, you know, the hosts are just like, they'll give these people a chance to talk. And it's just like, my God, what planet are you on? You know, you're not done with the clip, right?
Oh, no. But it does remind me of something that I saw that went viral in one of these ignorance rallies. Let me see. Where did it come from? Because I think I saved it.
I remember going to space.
Yeah, there it is. The Mercury News. Humboldt County coronavirus protesters' sign goes viral. Greta Stenger has since been identified as having held a sign in front of the Humboldt County Courthouse. She later apologized for the image because now she's almost unemployable. And she's holding up a picture of a Brazilian slave, beloved from history, named Escrava Anastasia. He's a big part of Brazilian folklore.
Mm-hmm.
And the sign she's holding says, "Muzzles are for dogs and slaves. I'm a free human being." Because, you know, wearing a mask to keep you from making other people sick, that's muzzling. And you know, she's not a... She's not a slave. She's a free human being. Because white.
Well, listen, I agree with... I heard what you said earlier about David in South Carolina, his comments about Myrtle Beach. It's just, you know, when the governor, quote-unquote, whatever opened means, I don't even like using that. It's just, that's the term they use. So they loosened the restrictions, and now... Because most people around here are just simpletons, and let's just be honest, people are simpletons. So they think that means they don't have to wear a mask, you know. And you know, when you go in the supermarket, it is a political statement. Now, I'm saying this as someone who lives in Trump country, just my observations, and the things I hear people say. This is not helping. This is not, somehow the message is not getting through. You know, they still don't understand, like, if you, I said it before, the surgeon wears a mask because he wants to protect the patient. The patient is opened up. The thorax is open. Why do you cover? I mean, it's just really simple. You think about it.
Right. I mean, and the salad bar sneeze guard is to keep your sneezes out of salad that somebody else might eat.
And, okay, you want to go to the straight to the dumb answer. Okay.
Yeah, wait a minute. Yes, we're going to sail the Straits of Dumbassery now with Captain Todd.
These are our senators. And let's look at the demographic. These are old mugs. You know, if they're lucky, they have implants. A lot of them have dentures. And you know what happens when people get excited and they start talking with dentures? They start to spew.
Some spraying
and
going
and then
on.
You know, too many people, I'm just going to say this. I have to. You know, it's pathetic. You know, you get to a certain level and you would think more of people when you're in the restroom with folks that are running things and making, you know, three, four, whatever figures. And they're more concerned about their hair after they've relieved their bowels than washing their hands. And, you know, if you're at home and you don't want to wash your hands after you've relieved your bowels or doing whatever in the bathroom, that's kind of your business. But this is pre-corona. When you're out at work, you know, be considerate of other people. Wash your motherfucking hands. And then you use that towel, if they have towels, and you open the door with that towel. And then you throw the towel in the trash can. And this is pre-corona. See, but I never could understand how someone can stick their hand up their fucking ass, wipe, and just walk out. Explain that to me. I don't get it.
Well, there's a mindset that is evinced by an old Alabama Auburn joke that I've told before, Todd. You know, Auburn's famous for its engineering school. There's engineering at Alabama, too, but, I mean, Auburn's just up there. And so there's an Auburn, and you know how it is with Auburn and Alabama and Alabama, right?
Mm-hmm.
Terrible, huge rival. Bitter rival.
Right.
And so there's an Alabama grad and an Auburn grad in the restroom. And and the Auburn grad stands to the urinal and takes a pee and goes over and very carefully washes his hands and dries them off. And the Alabama grad just puts it back, zips up, goes on about. And on the way, as he's reaching the door, the Auburn grad says, you know, at Auburn, they teach us to wash our hands after we've used the restroom. Alabama grad turns to him and says, well, Alabama, they teach us not to pee on our hands. So, you know, there's that. But you're right. You're right. Steve Scully's eyes are as big as coffee saucers. I think they couldn't have got any bigger if they'd run a dose of 240 through him. Let's go back and hear some more of the crazy. Because remember, he doesn't have the report what had been roted, but he knows. Our friend in internet, it had been roted. It was roted. Our friend from International Falls, Minnesota.
Same virus was over 800 miles away, and there was no bats in that supposed whatever you want to call the buying center where they were selling
in Wuhan. How do you know that? What's your source to that, Brad?
Well, I can't source the actual paper that wrote it or the person that said it. It's a fact, but I'm going to tell.
And by the way, the sales center where they got the bat, and that would be Bat Mart, Todd. Bat Mart.
You something, the best advice I have can give you today, Steve, is that you have to distance yourself from the Washington Post, New York Times, MSNBC, and CNN, the true people that are controlling the Democratic Party. And you're part of it. And if you don't cut your ties, you're going to go right down with them, too.
Well, Brett, we don't have any ties to the New York Times or the Washington Post.
Too, I'll bet. You know what? Let me look at your financials and find out any gifts or anything that you've ever gotten. Anything.
Zero. Brad, zero. We're funded completely by the cable industry. We've had $0 from any of those news organizations or networks.
The C-SPAN, I'm saying that you've been gifted
Same thing. No, that's not true. Zero for me and for this network. Not once.
Can I look into all of your financials and whatnot?
Absolutely. There's nothing there.
When can I?
So, Brad, what is your point?
The point is that this is not an, if it's a natural occurrence of virus, there isn't supposed to be. You can't change a natural occurrence.
Sure. No, all I'm telling you is that based on Dr. Anthony Fauci, who is the leading expert on this, has said that it is not man-made.
It absolutely is man-made. I'll bet you any amount of money you want to bet that it's man-made.
Brad, thanks for the call from Internet.
Yeah, Brad, you put up the 29 cents you've got in your savings account, and any amount of money.
But Bob, Brad is going to be from Falls,
Minnesota.
He's going to be as famous as that gentleman who called in Heather McGee when Heather McGee was on and said, you know, I'm a racist and I don't want to be a racist anymore. Can you please tell me how I cannot be a racist? And he was totally serious. This is going down in American history because this is a perfect teachable moment. Because this shows how powerful propaganda can be and how powerful it has been and is. Because remember, our president follows these people that have perpetuated these myths, you know, like Alex Jones and Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity. You know, like Sean Hannity, this afternoon, Sean Hannity was talking about he had a doctor on from the West Coast, and he said, well, he cited, you know, in 400 journal articles, which I doubt. Unless he's 80 years old, you know, that's a lot. I mean, you can be cited as helping, but you're not going to be principal investigator that many. I'm cited in a couple. I'm not a principal investigator, but, you know, you just that's kind of a lot. I don't believe that at all. But he's a liar, so, you know. But anyway, so this is my point. Now, we have a president. We have a whole subculture that's not even a subculture anymore that believes these things. They will go through any type of mental gymnastics to say the Democrats, the media, the liberal left media. And this leads me into a question I need to ask you. Because, you know, first of all, you know, and I'm going to look, I remember, I don't know if you remember, but, you know, way back during the birther thing, I remember because I just bought 4 new Continental tires. And if anyone has ever purchased Continental tires, then you understand how much they cost. So I was feeling a little broke. I was just like, wow, am I going to eat tonight? You know, that kind of thing. But I had to have the tires. Called in, we're talking, and I said, you know, and this is the birthday thing. And this is when Trump decided he was going to run. And I just said to him, I said, you know, he can't be president. And you said, why not? I said, because he's a sociopath. I said, there's no way he can make it through the hurdles. This is obvious he's a sociopath.
How'd that work out?
This is it. Pardon me? Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, yeah, and how'd it work out?
Well, it didn't. So there's something going on here. Because the Electoral College is the last resort. Now, why did they let this? They knew he was something. They knew he wasn't right. And see, it's not just that he's a sociopath. And I'm not going to dwell on this, but it's just, you know, even if you don't have that type of training, or you know, you don't even have any kind of education, just you know, just simple tests. Anybody can do this. Ask yourself. Now, after the inauguration, the president insisted that he had the largest crowd size. It was larger than Obama's. To the point where Spitzer, whatever lackey it was, they went to Kinko's or the Capitol print shop, and you know they have these nice light foam poster boards where you can blow up a photo so that you can hold it up and do your presentation, and you know it's really tight, it's hot, you know, so it's very tight. And anyone could clearly see that that crowd was not as large as Obama's. Yet he kept insisting that it was.
Right.
And to the point, it wasn't funny anymore, and he wasn't being funny. The president was not being funny. He was being serious. You know, and it's like everyone's looking at the same picture. It's like, well, it's not. There are not more people there. And he just insisted. That's called delusional.
I tend to agree.
Are you following me here?
Yes, I am.
And that's simple. That's just something simple that you can explain to your plumber. And I'm not trying to degrade anyone. I'm just saying everyone doesn't have training in how to screen, you know, mental health. It's just what it's life. What do you, you know? Listen to people who know. So the way, you know, so now we have to say, okay, how did he get this far? Because the power elite, they're getting what they want out of him. But they're going to chew it. They're going to spit him out pretty soon. Well, let me not say that. Because maybe they're not. This coup thing is real. This is why, this is very crazy. This whole situation. When they had the State Department, and then we have two people. Because, you know, Pompeo went through the CIA. He was the head of intelligence at the CIA. Now he's State Department. They've dismantled everything. Ratliff is going to be in, and they're going to use now. Okay, and here's the scenario. What happens when, even though the courts are mostly, they got the courts because they're packing the lower courts and they have the Supreme Court. But what, let's say like Emmett
Sullivan,
the black Irishman. Now, let's just play a little parlor game here. Okay, so what kind of compromising material can we find on Mr. Sullivan? Oh, I don't know. We have control over everything, don't we? We can get his cell record. We can just everything. Because everything's hooked up now. There's no way around it. You can't even transfer a picture now without an email. You can't just copy and paste. So everything's being kept. Now, by hook or crook, he can get that information. The president can. And then give it to one of his lackeys, Murdoch, whoever, somebody in the media, to leak out stuff on a federal judge. Then what?
And nobody can do anything. Right, I get it.
So at what point do America, but this is what a lot of America wants, I believe. Or they're just too stupid. I can't figure it out yet. What do you think it is?
It's not one thing, Todd. It really and truly is a concerted effort to bring down our civil society, our civil governance, and at the same time pit us against each other, because this country weakened cannot act to stop other countries from doing, evil, nefarious things that they've still got plans for.
Mm-hmm.
And if we, you know, if we're too busy chewing on each other, we won't do anything if, say, country A rolls across the frontier of country B and just says, "No, you're part of us now. You've been assimilated."
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So there, you know, there's that. By the way, Kyle in Kentucky stands says, speaking of propaganda, Fox is already going off about how Trump has already created a vaccine, even though one doesn't exist yet.
What?
Yeah. I've seen it. They're pushing this one dude. This one pharma dude is, we're very close to a vaccine. But they announced the other day, Todd, that they're going to give, if they get something they call a vaccine, they're going to start pumping into the people, whether it works or not. They said that out loud. And you know me, and you know this program well enough to know I'm the last guy in the world you would ever consider to be an anti-vaxxer.
Mm-hmm.
But do I trust this gang of foot pads, cut purses, highwaymen, lick spittles, toadies and lackeys, not to go in the back room and dissolve some fucking barkeeper's friend in a little bit of warm water and come out with it in a goddamn syringe and say, here's your vaccine. No, I don't. The only way I'm going to trust a vaccine is if it is developed and announced after this morbidly obese fucker is gone.
Yep.
Either that's from it. Office or the planet.
Hey, not from this administration. Are you kidding me? They can't even get the tests right. The corona tests right. And you know what's funny?
They got reinfected sailors aboard the USS Theodore Roosevelt right now, and they don't know if it's just that the tests sucked when they thought they didn't have it, or they've been reinfected. And the reinfected part is the terrifying part.
Of course it is. You know, that's one reason I spent so much time talking about validity and reliability, because I could see that coming. The whole thing has been botched because of greed, ineptitude. We fucked up, and now we're blaming people who are doing it right. Now they're blaming the WHO because we should just use their test instead of them trying to profiteer off of a new test. It'll make a new wheel. What's wrong with the old wheel? That was not round enough. You know, fuck that.
Yeah, we're deeply disturbing Kyle right now because Kyle just wrote in all caps, fucking hell, we're going to do human experiments now? Where the fuck do we live, Russia? Well, kind of, yeah.
Yep. Yes, yes. See, that's the thing. You can't rush this type. Now, it's a little confusing because, one of these companies is saying that they have the type of vaccine that actually gets into the RNA and manipulates what makes the cell replicate, which is different than a traditional vaccine, which is a little piece of the dead cells. So it operates totally differently. But then again, let's think. I mean, it sounds good on paper. It sounds great, right? But think about it. That's genetic modification. We don't know what that's going to do down the line. You know, when you start messing with genes, you have to be very conscious and careful about what you're doing.
Because shit can get loose.
Yeah, it gets loose.
It's like something Robert sent in from Australia a little bit ago. Man-made virus, you know, back when dude from International Falls was talking about that he couldn't find the report what had wrote it. I'd never heard of this. Robert says there's a film called Day of Resurrection, or Virus, to use the American title. Largely unknown. Goes back to 1980. There's two versions, the short U.S. edit, which isn't very good, and the full-length 156-minute Japanese version. A terrorist cell breaks into a U.S. base in Germany to steal an experimental virus. Say hello to the Italian flu, which is highly contagious and 100% fatal. The entire planet's dead within 3 months, except for scientists and military officers in Antarctica, where the virus cannot survive the cold. It got a lot of bad reviews, despite a major cast. I think it's a good film, the full Japanese edit at least. It's worth a look if you can find the Japanese cut and you're in the mood. Here's the thing. I don't know about it, but there's so much of this crap that's being promulgated by the GRU and whatnot.
Right.
And so much of this looks like somebody's been sitting around, drinking Patinka vodka and watching old dystopian disaster movies.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I said the other day, and this is completely off topic, but I said a while back that you'll know all you need to know about Tara Reid when she shows up at a Trump event. Well, mm-hmm. She's in talks with the Trump campaign now.
Oh, boy.
So, you know, I predicted it. There it is.
Well, you know what you're talking about. Oh, you know what you're talking about. And you know, this Russian propaganda is effective and it's cheap to them.
Now, it does everything they could possibly want it to do. No guns need be fired, no bullets, no nothing.
No. Look how fractured and weakened we are. We have, you know, they were like, wow, let's see. They haven't been funding their schools since mid-70s.
And here's the,
by now.
Here's the funny thing about Mother Russia, and that's this. They are, their approach to people needing to pay bills and whatnot is to just, you know, fuck them. You know, they're peasants. You know, screw it. So to hell with them, and not much in the way of money going out to ordinary working, workaday sons and daughters of Mother Russia. You know, just let them hang fire.
Mm-hmm.
Which, curiously enough, it would be the Republican approach if they could just have their wish list.
It looks the same with a different label, doesn't it?
Exactly. Let's see how this works out with the accent. It is not proper place for a government of people to take care of people who are government. It's not proper. It's not good thing for government money to give government to give free money to people so that they may simply lay about in their welfare hammocks. Oh, wait a minute. That's Paul Ryan with a Russian accent. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Are you on to something?
Sometimes it feels like it.
Well, okay. I have a question, because this is following that vein, what you're talking about, you know, with Russia. And I had to say, I know I shouldn't talk about the Attorney General because he's so powerful now, but, you know, when he started talking about the flimsy evidence of collusion with Russia, where he's rewriting history again, and this is after he had that disgusting, maniacal chuckle when asked about this, and he said, well, you know, the winners write the history. That shit is not funny. Then he follows up.
Well, they're all performing now, for an audience of one, Todd. I mean, we all know that now, right?
Yeah, well, one and who else? I don't know. Some of these people like this. They want to be in power. They see, I don't know. I've been paying attention to these folks. You know, there's a whole, like the Rand Paul people, and you talk about them. It's this libertarian-leaning Republican-type person who is a cross between, well, not a cross, but, you know, they're this social Darwinist. They just don't care. They would eat their young. They're just all about the money. If you make it, you make it. You don't, you don't. And that's their philosophy behind this virus. They're like, you know, they'll say, well, something's going to kill you anyway. They're out here dancing around now. I mean, this is going to be very ugly. This thing's going to go around the world a couple more times. And I just hope it mutates downward and not more dangerous. This is ugly.
Yeah, bad.
You know, let me ask you something. Have you anecdotally, and then I have one more question after that, but anecdotally, with people who have been sick with this, have you heard anything about, like, maybe any of the listeners, a boomerang effect where it feels like you're getting better and then you get just really sick and it just, you have good days and bad days, but it never really goes away? Have you heard that?
Yeah, and in point of fact, I was reflecting on that just last night because within a day of each other, I had two very dear friends from two very different places, neither of whom know each other. Okay, let's be clear about mm-hmm. that. John Fox does not know Stefan Passmore, and Stefan Passmore does not know John Fox. Stefan is in northwest Alabama. John is near Newcastle in New South Wales, Australia. And there's no reason for that. They've never been in contact, and they weren't even in contact on the program. And I didn't mention it at the time, but I found it very interesting. You know, association is not causation, and anecdote does not constitute evidence. But regardless, mm-hmm. I found it awfully damned interesting that in the course of a conversation about whether or not they may have had it already, the two of them, said something virtually identical. And that is, I had something, I thought it was the flu, but it was the damnedest flu I ever had. It wasn't like anything I'd ever had before.
Mm-hmm.
And they both said that without being prompted. And it's and from what I experienced as well, it's true. It's not typical.
No.
And you are forever in a day getting back to something that feels like normal.
I still don't feel right, and I totally agree with you, because it feels, you get to a certain age, you've had the flu, you've been sick, you had colds, you know what it feels like, you know, you power through it or not, or whatever, but you know what it feels like.
A month.
It feels like something alien.
A month and a half before Agnes and I got married 27 years ago, we got a late snow, and it was just, we were living in an old farmhouse. And I came down sick first, and it was obviously the flu. I mean, everything hurt. My hair hurt. My toenails ached. Ran a fever, all of that. Agnes hadn't gotten it yet, so being an angel of mercy as she is, and you know, a nurse, she ran out to get me palliative care, namely a couple of boxes of popsicles. Because I'd become 5 and a half years old when I get sick.
Oh, a popsicle.
And she comes back, and then by the next morning, she's got the same, you know, hair hurts, toenails ache, everything's, and we knew we had the flu. We just knew we had the flu. And we were a week getting over it, and then pretty much over it. Of course, she was in her late 20s, I was in my early 30s. And the best part of it was we were both laying there in bed just dying, felt like grim death. And then we both heard the same thing at the same time. Drip, drip, drip. And coming up out from under the flu fog, you know, I pulled on, you know, and it was snowing. Oh God, it has been snowing and snowing and snowing. So I'm freezing, and then I'm burning up, and I'm freezing, and I'm burning up, and I'm in a freezing phase. So I put on everything I could find and put some slippers on, walk downstairs, and the next thing I know, I'm standing in 2 inches of water.
Oh shit!
The whole kitchen's flooded. Because
the pipe burst?
No, the roof leaked.
Oh, God.
All night long. And so flu plus trying to bail out a kitchen plus trying to stop a leak. Yeah.
You'll never forget that. Damn.
Oh, no. I think that's one of those moments where we knew that we were bound to be together.
I was about to say how romantic, you know, you're talking about snowing and the farmhouse and it kept snowing. I was like, man, that sounds good, you know?
Yeah, except for the flu part.
Except for the flu and the flood. Oh, boy. That's a beautiful story. You guys are serious, and this is not totally off topic, but, you know, to get married when you guys got married, man. That's putting your money where your mouth is.
We look at each other and we quote we quote from Forrest Gump at each other. At least we ain't led no humdrum life. but the larger point of that story is, I really know what the flu feels like. And
right.
And like Stefan and like John said, you know, what, 8,000 miles away from each other? I don't know.
Right.
They said the same damn thing. It wasn't anything I'd ever had before. And it's been forever and a day getting better.
That's why I asked. Because I ask everyone this, you know, that I know or, you know, listen, who've had it. And remember, we were the first in this county, this city, this county, is where it started in the state. And we know where it came from now. And it was because, you know, there's some the country club set, you know, they went, the group of them went to Italy and came back. And this was back, you know, back when it was cold out, December.
And they brought back the Euro flu.
Right. And you see, and they come where
We won't call it the white European flu. That just wouldn't be nice now, would it?
Wouldn't be nice. But they got the whole town sick. But you see, I think I had it too because, like, you know, it doesn't feel like a normal sickness. Like, I'm a person, I don't get headaches. The only time I really get a headache is if I have a hangover, and I tend not to overdrink that much where I'll have a hangover. But this was, and it came on out of nowhere. I was burning up, my eyeballs turned red, and my whole head was red. I was just hot, achy, dizzy. And I don't get dizzy. Yeah, it was just really, it felt like I was being poisoned or drugged or something. And, you know, it took weeks to get right. And I still don't feel 100%. I don't. And the vomiting, I mean, it is. See, I think this is a pernicious virus. I think that it finds a way in. Because when you look at what it does to people's lungs, it just doesn't. It's not like pneumonia. It scars your lungs. It can, and then we're finding out that it can damage other organs in your body. People are losing kidneys over this.
Well, look what it's doing to kids. The ninth grader that wound up with the whatever the kid syndrome is being called said it felt like there was fire running through my veins, and they diagnosed him with heart failure as a result. And he's getting better now, but he was at death's door. But you know what Hydroxyhadrian says.
Well, they were ready to die. They were ready for death. It was beautiful.
If I hear one more for-profit media overpaid talk person say, well, he just doesn't have the empathy. It's like, of course he doesn't.
Not having the empathy is a diagnosable condition.
I mean, he doesn't. It's like saying, why doesn't your paraplegic brother tap dance and do marathons? Well, because. Why are you asking me that stupid question? He can't.
He does not have the essential ability.
Stop bringing it. Sorry.
Yeah, he doesn't have the essential ability to perform the tasks.
He doesn't. He does not have the essential. He doesn't have the capacity. It's not there. And it's really like that. I mean, that's the way it is. He cannot be. I mean, he checks more that and more. I mean, he can't be contrite. I mean, for people who understand, he's a perfect salesman. He's a user. A user, that guy, he smokes cigarettes. They never have any cigarettes, but, you know. And they get over it by being funny and glad-handing. You know, that's a sociopath on a minor level, and it's not that big of a deal. We all know these people. But they're not president, and they're not his age, and they don't have a substance abuse issue, and they don't have the other negative and antisocial personality traits to go along with what we're talking about. So it's not just one or two things with him. That's why it's so dangerous. And he's about to get cornered real quick, and it's going to be real ugly. And I know what you said about him playing with himself, and I had a vision the other day, though. I'm not saying he's not going to do that. But I had this vision, and some of my visions, they come true. He's in the Oval Office with some reputable people around him, a high-level meeting. The cameras are there, and he gets upset. Somebody says something he doesn't like. Then he gets up, he drops his pants, and he relieves himself of his bowels right there in the middle of the Oval Office. And then he pulls his pants back up.
Yeah, it could happen. It could happen.
Is that what you wanted to see? Huh?
Yeah.
Because, see, that would serve two functions. That would defile the Oval Office that was defiled by Obama. There's a lot. I don't know. That's just a vision I had. But anyway, listen, you're in the media, whether you like it or not. But I have this question. What? I don't even know if it's appropriate now, but, you know, I feel like maybe we need to, if we can, set up some pawns, get some interns to have people lined up, you know, to ask hard questions of the president. And it's not our fault they're hard questions. It's not that the media is unfair to him. It's that he's unfair to the American public. He's the one who keeps engaging in these negative behaviors. The reason that the media doesn't say positive things about him is that he doesn't engage in positive behavior.
The classic case is Fox and Onan, the network that spills its coverage upon the ground. They have to make silk purses out of sow's ears all day, every day. Oh,
good
the president.
With that.
Yeah, the president said those were people who were ready to die, who died. And, well, you know, and here at Fox, we thank them for dying to prove Donald Trump's point. And what a great man he is to point that out.
Oh, my God. That makes my head hurt. So, you know, get these reporters. You know they're not going to be asked back again. Get them and just have another, just like the infantry. If this were a war and you have an infantry, you know that, I mean, that's, they're expendable. That's what the infantry is. That's what they're there for. I mean, that's why you want to move up. And I hate to use that analogy in a way, but I don't even know if that's going to be helpful at this point. It just doesn't matter. And I'm not feeling good at all. And now I'm, you know, people, I'm going to let you go because I'm not trying to dominate.
Well, by the way, Kyle pointing out, regardless of what one thinks of Mike Pompeo, you know, he graduated first in his class at West Point. Kyle notes, William Barr is the most dangerous person in the government right now. But the fact of the matter is William Barr really, really bummed out the maggots here fairly recently. Because, you know, yesterday...
Doing what?
Well, yesterday he said that as likely as not, Obama probably won't be prosecuted for Obamagate. And the maggots went wild. They did.
Well, why would they have any hope in that in the first place? That's silly.
Well, no. Q, Trump working with Q is gonna prosecute Barack Obama and Hillary and everybody for treason. Okay. And so when Barr said, "Nah, it's probably not gonna be now," the maggots responded, "Why?"
Exactly. Why? Exactly.
Well, no, I mean, Q done told him. He's a Kenyan Muslim, you slurper. And he's got to be persecuted. It's in the Constitution.
Yeah. Oh, you were good last night when you said it was in the Constitution and you're talking about the Declaration of Independence. And that, you hit it out of the park. That, you know, come on. Well, so right, okay. So since you brought it up, now we've got this nitwit Nero, the MILF, the mentally ill fascist. All right, he's in place. Now, you know, he'll be gone, maybe. You know, after his next 4 years, maybe he'll go. He'll be dead or whatever. But what do we do with these people?
Hopefully, they crawl back behind the baseboards. Now, some of them need to be prosecuted. I mean, Bill Barr needs to be prosecuted.
Damn right.
And like Bill Barrick and I were talking, it's going to be real difficult, even if they succeed in front of Judge Sullivan, it's going to be real difficult for the Justice Department to dismiss the prosecution of... Michael Flynn with prejudice, meaning it can never be brought back again. And so if we get Biden in the presidency and if he doesn't fuck up and do the whole, well, we need to look forward and not back bullshit, because we've been through that,
then those
cases can be put forward. Or in the case of Flynn, the prosecution can be reinitiated.
Oh, all right.
I know. Okay, it's hard to wrap your head around the crazy. It's kind of like Robert in Australia. Q? Is that Q from the James Bond movies or from Star Trek The Next Generation? It's neither and all. God, it was August of 2017 when we had a Friday on the Front Porch conversation. I was in New Orleans, and I was just hearing the rumblings of QAnon.
Really?
Robert, I can't even give you a précis on this. You just got to look up what is QAnon and be very, very careful about the links you click.
That's what I would say.
Because Q is this deep cover pro-Trump government functionary who's quietly going after the pedophiles and the rapists and the people who don't like Trump, and he's integral to the swamp draining. And so, for instance, my audio is screwed up again here, but I can't play it, but. There's Ann Vandersteel. She's one of these loons, and she is a QAnon conspiracy hustler.
Mm-hmm.
And she's saying that, I've got a source that says James Comey may have already been arrested by Q. He hasn't been seen since April 24th, never mind the fact that there's a pandemic on.
Wait, what?
And he's probably sheltering in place like the sane people are. But Ann Vandersteel says, maybe they're on vacation. Who knows? I don't know. Maybe the U.S. Marshals have them. I don't know. Maybe he's a cooperating witness. I have no idea. I've stressed over and over it was a rumor. I called my source last night about it and said, you know, what do you think's going on? And he said he's had somebody, another person that he's connected with, following James Comey for a while. He lives around the block, and he said James Comey was last seen in a supermarket on April 24th, and that was the last time he was seen in public. His family and his house have been empty since April 24th.
Q has already arrested James Comey.
That is insane. That's insane. I don't know what has become of us collectively.
I know.
But, okay. Well, yeah. And I just have, all right. So, you know, I like YouTube. And so there's something from Star Media, which is a Russian firm, company, whatever. But they have a quote-unquote documentary out there. It's called The Romanovs. And it's almost 4 hours long to see every episode, to see it all the way through. And it's very, very well done in terms of the graphics and the camera work and everything else. I mean, everything is top quality. And so far, I have not seen any historical inaccuracies so far. But now there are more Star Media productions out there, which I don't know enough about to discern whether, you know, I have to do some more research to see if they're historically accurate. But, you know, Russia has really got this, that could be another prong, even if it, you know, it's true and it's really good. You know, so people would say, well, I don't know. They have some good information out there, the Russians do. You know, at the same time that they're, you know, meddling and doing nefarious things. Because that's
the problem. Yes. It's, Here's the problem. It's easy enough to look at these loons and say, well, obviously these people are loons, but they are dangerous loons. And they're bloodthirsty loons. And people pay attention to them. And that's how their poison spreads. Because all it takes is a few stupid people to get something really going. So here I have, Obamagate. I got you a fresh clip here, Todd, from Coach Dave Daubenmeyer. Yeah. Remember Coach Dave? He's the one whose daughters were miraculously saved from being turned into big-bottomed, short-haired softball lesbians because of their Christian faith. Yeah, that
right, one. Right.
Barack Obama must go to jail. He must go to jail. And we started with Hillary and all that kind of stuff. Now, as I begin to dig in deeper and deeper and deeper to see what's going on, first of all, let there be no doubt. Okay, listen. There is no.
Yeah, because Dave Daubenmeyer is an accomplished investigative journalist who can dig and dig and dig and dig, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We can have a trial. There is no doubt that Barack Obama knew what was being done to Donald Trump. He knew it. Sure. He knew what was being done to Michael Flynn. Barack Obama knew it. We have the evidence. He knew it. The buck stops at the top. And if we think Comey and Clapper... Yeah.
Wait, the buck stops at the top, but not if Donald Trump is at the top, because
I don't take responsibility for anything.
Right? But, you know, that other one, you know, he screwed everything up.
Getting those little peons, if we think that's it... No, no, no. In order for justice to be restored to America, Barack Hussein Obama... The communist Muslim freak must be put in jail. He must be put in jail.
Coach.
That doesn't happen. Hey, there is no justice in America. The president of the United States destroyed Michael Flynn. He destroyed him.
Yeah, yeah. The president of the United States made Michael Flynn go to Moscow and sit at a table with Jill fucking Stein and sweet, huggable, lovable, cuddleable Vlad Pooty Poot. Barack Obama forced Michael Flynn to lie to the government about his contacts with the Russians. Barack Obama made Michael Flynn hide his business contacts as an unregistered foreign agent for Erdogan in Turkey. Why? Because Kenyan Muslim usurper wizard powers. That's why.
Where he got compromised in another way. And you see, this is all a smokescreen. Folks have forgotten logic, and they've taken their critical thinking skills to the well and just thrown them into the well and never to be seen again. Because remember, Flynn, key members of the Trump administration, it's a fancy word, back channel. But all that means is they wanted secure communication that no one could monitor between them and Russia. Before the inauguration, before the Trump presidency was installed. For what reason? I mean, they were begging. They just couldn't understand why they just couldn't get it because they wanted it. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
See, so we got, you know, people just, I don't know, man. What are these people thinking about? They're not paying attention. And this guy who just played, you see, this is ingrained now. They can't let this shit go. They cannot let it go. I just don't know what is going to become of us because this shit is not going away.
Well, this is the poison. This is the poison that befouls our body politic. So Dave Daubenmeyer said he's got to be prosecuted for treason, right? Well, that's not enough to suit firefighter prophet Mark Taylor. And Chris McDonald. Hell yes, there's more. Oh, yeah. Here it comes.
That we should be following and tracking along with the president and the Q movement and all these things here.
That's right.
Long enough that when something like this happens, we don't hit the panic button. There's always something else behind it.
That's right.
Now, is Durham going to be involved, or is the DOJ going to be involved in some criminal action against Obama or Biden at some point? Maybe so. I don't know. But here's the thing. You're talking about high treason.
Yes, you are.
Treason in the highest forms that have ever been committed against this country.
Yeah, the highest forms. And this is no time to go off wandering off into the wilds of American history with which firefighter prophet Mark Taylor and Chris McDonald are utterly unfamiliar. Firefighter prophet Mark Taylor, by the way, broadcasting from some strange room where he's got a shelf behind him with the letter Q on it, of course. It's a sign. It's a signal. But there is General James Wilkinson, who sold out the United States to the Kingdom of Spain and was an active Spanish spy, even at the same time that he was the most powerful general in the American military. There's that. But no. The fact that Michael Flynn got prosecuted for doing illegal things that he pled guilty under oath and said, here I am swearing under oath I did these things. Yeah, that's high treason by Barack Obama. But we haven't gotten to the real screaming hockey into the hockey puck part.
DOJ,
no.
My humble opinion, may not be doing that because of this very reason. Who does that get handed to when it's high treason like this? It is a military tribunal. Why? Because it wasn't criminal. It was an act of war. These are war crimes, basically. We are at war. Look, I shared a thread with a guy. Go to my Twitter feed. Read the thread from this young man who's ex-military. He put a beautiful thread together on how these mass arrests are going to go down legally. And he gave the legal precedent and even...
Because it's in the Constitution! Right next to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It's in the Constitution. I was in the Army. They made me take a class for an hour about the Constitution. I know all about the Constitution now.
Executive orders that the president has signed. Just go back and read that. If you think these guys are going to walk, you have another thing coming. These guys are not going to walk. Now, here's the other thing, too, Chris, is some of this could be optics as well.
Optics, absolutely.
Because they're trying to put the deep state at ease, maybe a little
optics,
bit.
Optics, definitely
the deep
optics.
State knows at this point they're done. They're finished. You know what I mean? Obama is finished. Biden is finished. They're all finished. They're all going to go to prison, some even worse than that at that point. Some will be executed. Now, that's not up to us. That's up to a military tribunal to convict these guys. And, you know, when a military tribunal, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think there's any appealing a military tribunal.
Nope.
You're found guilty.
I don't think
found
there's
guilty.
I don't
that's
think
it.
There's any
no appealing.
Correcting him so, when he's wrong.
Why is he talking about military tribunals?
Well, because it was an act of war, and it's in the Constitution. Of course, it's not. He keeps talking about high treason. There's no crime called high treason. That's an oldie English common law. Let's lop the heads off of people who disagree with the king kind of thing.
I'm still trying to figure out what Obama did besides him being black. Like, where are the infractions? I don't see them.
Well, you don't see them because they aren't there. Hell, when even Bill Pepe the Frog Barr doesn't see them, they really aren't there. But that leaves the Mark Taylor, the firefighter prophet, to say, well, you know, of course, it's about the optics, but, you know, that Kenyan Muslim usurper, he's going to be hanged for high treason by a military tribunal because I masturbate to that. Yeah.
Oh, come on.
Robert in Australia says, cricket bat time. This is where, here in Australia, the interviewer takes out the cricket bat and whack! As for Comey and his family, Darlene in Connecticut, who would know, maybe, probably got a better idea than we do. It says, Comey and his family probably got the fuck out of Fairfield County, Connecticut, because it has the highest cases of COVID-19 in the state. It's all spillover from New York. He most likely has a second home that's secluded in the country to retreat to. He was a corporate attorney before fucking up the FBI as FBI Director Post Mueller. These guys are wealthy with at least 2 to 3 homes. Please!
Fairfield's a high-rent district, man. That ain't no joke. I mean, there's poor parts everywhere, but Fairfield.
And poor Kyle. It's been a tough night for Kyle. Someone please help these QAnon people. They're calling for help. Good God. But right after that, we're back to the all caps again. Fucking hell, not Coach Dave again. Obama knew about a legal investigation. Arrest a Kenyan Muslim.
What time is it in Australia? Do you know?
I do. And I can even tell you. It's 9:29 a.m. in New South Wales.
So he's getting his day started with
this program is Robert's morning drive, and I am so honored. Yeah, Robert's got a lot of choices in Australian media, but he chooses to hang out with us, and that just tickles my soul. And I'm not being snarky or sarcastic, Robert. I mean that from the bottom of my heart. And Kyle, meanwhile, is just sitting there in the Eastern time zone with the rest of us going, fuck. And said, you know, treason, high treason, otherwise known as a black man and a strong Democratic woman being in positions of power in the government. High treason. Going to have a military tribunal. Military tribunal is right there in the Constitution. Steve, cutting through the fog of derp, says, the firefighter prophet, this guy's a fucking moron. Yes, seriously, yeah. When none of this happens, what will these people do? It won't matter. They just proved it. Well, don't think that because it hasn't happened, it's not going to happen. I mean, some of this is optics. And Chris McDonald going, oh, yeah, definitely optics. Slow optics on the driveway, definitely.
Okay, let me ask you, Am I being too critical of the for-profit media in that I do not understand why it is so difficult to thread data points that anyone can understand between the fact that Flynn, okay, they say he lied, but, you know, maybe you need to say what he lied about. He lied about his contacts with Kislyak, who was the Russian ambassador, who we all know is a soft spy. They're spies. It's just, we have spies right. Like that. They have, I mean, that's the way it is. But then, okay, fine. That's in one basket. But how come everyone is lying about contacts with Kislyak? And they're operating like nobody's listening. You know goddamn well everybody listens to the diplomatic call.
Right. Yes.
If you don't know that, you don't need to be in Washington.
If I'm not mistaken, I think that's how Michael Flynn kind of stumbled and bumbled onto the radar. It's like, wait a minute. Susan Rice, could you tell me why it is that a decorated American general is talking about sensitive information with Sergei Kislyak? Well, sir. Yeah. And by the way, we now have competing theories about James Comey. Darlene says that they have probably definitely bugged out of Fairfield, Connecticut, because the Rona. On the other hand, Lady B says Comey. He's sick. My best friend's sister's boyfriend's brother's girlfriend heard from this guy who knows this kid who's going with the girl who saw Comey pass out at 31 Flavors last night. I guess it's pretty serious. Yeah, thanks, Bob. No problem whatsoever.
That took a lot of work. Lady B, what's up?
Knows this guy who knows this kid. Which is not a dime's worth of difference from, say, Ann Vandersteel, who says, "No, I got this guy. He lives around the corner from." You just happen to know this guy who lives around the corner from James Comey, and it's probably not a shabby neighborhood. So why has this guy got such a do-less existence? You get the point.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't.
But speaking of not having been seen, you know that huggable, snuggable, cuddleable, lovable, big bad Vladdy Daddy, like most of his advisors are testing positive. It's running around the Russian parliament, and he's living in his house and not leaving it, while occasionally sending out, like, email messages or. I don't know what Zoom is in Russian, but saying, dear children of Mother Russia, all is well. We are doing great.
we do not have so many Rona cases, only nearly 300,000 and 2,837 dead, all of whom were probably ready to die.
Better sick anyway.
We're definitely sick. It was terrible.
You got it.
It was terrible.
You got it.
They had things in their ears.
Yeah, you probably had some Stoli, didn't you?
No, he doesn't drink Stoli. He drinks Putinka. That's the Putin.
Putinka.
Putinka is Putin branded vodka. Came out only a couple of short years before Trump brand vodka comes out. Putinka succeed. Trump brand vodka go belly up like sturgeon in spring. By the way, Comey, Darlene tells us, Comey lives in Westport of Fairfield City, and yes, Todd is right. It's an extremely wealthy county, home of Greenwich, Connecticut, too.
So yeah.
He probably had a bug-out space. But then again, he probably got sick when he got out to the bug-out space, and that explains the guy who knows the kid, who knows the guy who's dating the girl that Lady B was talking about.
You know, I have schoolmates who live in all over here. You know, that area, and the Upper West Side, you know, that's a different group of people. You know, wow, man, I tell you, you have a hell of a program. You know, people need to listen and maybe go back in the archives and listen, because really, your show should be named Ahead of the Curve. They talk about stuff that you've talked about, we've talked about, you know, months, years, you know, take your pick. And it makes me wonder, are our lawmakers that stupid, that complicit? What is going on here?
No, they're just listening to the multimillionaires, that's all. I mean, because why would you want to listen to somebody who's not a multimillionaire? I mean, they wouldn't be on TV if they weren't, like, multimillionaires and really good at being multimillionaires on the TV.
Well,
I mean, you see how it works? I mean, that's how Joke Toad stays in a job.
Well, he did well for himself, you know. And I'm glad that you getting a little pushback. Because he, you know... I get maybe he has kids in school or whatever, but, you know, he could push a little bit. Even Joy Reid, come on, man, she pushes. That's why one of the reasons I respect her. I don't agree with her all the time, but, you know, that doesn't matter what I think. But I just like the fact that she pushes people for answers. And when they don't respond correctly or they try to obfuscate, or dodge the question, she says, "Well, I'm moving on because you don't want to answer the question." And that's the way that these White House press reporters need to address the press, the White House, including the president and his lackeys, because they've gotten too comfortable with people backing down from them, from their nonsense. You can't just stand up there and lie on the taxpayer dollar like that. Fuck that. You know, that's why we need to have an infantry corps of reporters that will rotate in. You know, that's your one shot. So what? You can put that on your CV. You know, I covered the White House one time, and that was, you know, so what? You don't have to put it on there one time. You covered the White House. Let them ask you, you know, when you get interviewed. Because the longer we put up with this nonsense, you see where this is going. We are already in this authoritarian state. We're here. We are here. Do not ask, go. And if you don't believe that, just, you know, watch the news.
Oh, I know.
I don't think am I being hyperbolic here?
Nope, 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 nope. You're rock solid.
All right. Well, May Foon, and I'm glad you had a good ice cream.
Well, hopefully she'll have some chocolate made by this weekend. Man, they wiped out her chocolate. It is the darkest, chocolatiest chocolate ice cream I've ever eaten in my life, and it's fantastic.
Damn, that sounds great.
I can't eat the coffee. I can't have the coffee toffee anymore because it jangled me.
Well,
yeah, caffeine.
I heard you say that. Yeah, that caffeine thing. I don't. Yeah, it. Oh, here's the rain again. Goddamn rainforest.
Well, that's because you got your low pressure system and the other low pressure system and the high pressure system, and they're just pinching everything and won't let anything. No, you, please, after you. No, I couldn't imagine. You first. Somebody leave!
What? I mean, it's the truth. The sun was out. We had the sun for about an hour and a half. It was really nice. And now, you know, we're back to this, the rainforest. Unbelievable. This is, and then there was hail the other day over in Bishopville, and which is,
well, it's a sign. It was a sign from the Lord that it's time to reopen South Carolina.
He's telling us you got to move. You can't keep that vehicle parked like that. It's been hit by the hail. Got to
get out and drive around, dodge them hailstones.
Ain't good for no one. And then, well, I'll pull that back. Rob, man, your program is really something. And we just have to keep our head up and try to stay healthy and get through this. And I hope Jim Justice does you well.
Oh wait a minute. We've got a song suggestion. And since we're already so far in the hole, it's okay if I sing.
Here comes the rain again, falling on Todd's head like a memory, falling on Todd's head like a new emotion.
Oh, Bob rained on my parade. Oh, my God.
So talk to me like callers do. Talk to me like callers do.
Are you going for a Grammy or what?
I'll take what I can get. The International Pissant Internet Radio Host Awards would be fine. Yeah.
And by the way, this is a future.
That's called
fact,
that's called a PIRA, by the way. Pissant Internet Radio Host Award. PIRHA.
Are you acronyming?
Wait a minute. The Pissant Internet Radio Asshole Neoliberal I need an H word. Hellraiser Awards. Piranha.
Damn, you're good. You're good. Oh my God.
It's not just everybody can qualify for a piranha.
I almost forgot to tell you this.
Named in honor of Monty Python's Piranha Brothers.
You did it. Did you do that without a pen and paper?
I did.
That's good, man. That's good. Stretch those neurons. So, first of all, I like that soft rock talk you guys had a few shows back. Because I remember when I had enough money. No, when I had enough money to buy America, the CD, I was the happiest motherfucker, man. I cannot tell you. That's the CD, America, America by America. Oh
and you know, I didn't even really get going because I got to think, what you going to do when she says goodbye? What you going to do when she is gone? Name the band quickly before Lady B beat you to it.
I'm speechless. But that just brought, you know, that type of music has its place. Now, come on, man. It has. It is what it is. But I was like, damn, yeah, I remember that. Fuck that. And it was.
Yeah,
it was,
you're vamping. Geez, you're man. Trying to remember. You're trying to remember the band, aren't you?
Well, I'm babbling. I think it's. No, I don't want to be wrong. See, I don't want to say something stupid.
I might be wrong, but I'm pretty sure it's. I'm not going to say it until Lady B tells us.
Are you serious? She's going to type in. Or wait a minute. This is what I wanted to say earlier. Let me tell you. And I don't care who's listening. This is the truth. Do not fuck with Brother Deacon Asus. He is the fact checker from hell. He doesn't give a fuck if you're Bob, the president. If your shit is fucking out of order, he's going to let you know.
That's why he's there.
Deacon, you can't. Look, I got respect, man. Honest to God.
Yeah, don't fuck with a brother deacon. I mean, he didn't spend 6 years in evil brother deacon school to be called, you know, just Asa.
Oh, just let him do his thing. Don't get in the way. All you're going to do is get hurt. Just stay out of the way. Oh my God. Yo, but I don't know if you remember this. We had a conversation some time ago about that deer family that moved in up the street.
Yes.
I think it was last spring.
Yes.
Okay. Right. So, you know, we're willing to give them a break. I mean, you know, neuter the neighborhood. It's springtime. You know, they're getting acclimated. But here we go. Motherfuckers are blockbusters. Now their cousins got a house up the street. More deer. And if you can't say shit to their kids. They're in the street all the time. Playing that deer music.
That deer music. Yeah. Kind of like the Flintstones when the Way Outs moved in, and oh no, bug music, right?
Right, exactly. I suspected they were blockbusters. I couldn't prove it, but
it's the old guy who watched cartoons radio hour. Yes, bug music. And it was the hillbillies on the Flintstones who objected to the bug music. That's how they got. That's how they ran the hillbillies out of the neighborhood.
They couldn't. They found out they couldn't stand the bug music, and then they packed their shit up and they got the hell out.
They broke camp.
They broke. Well, that's what we're going to have to do with these deer, because now it's raining and they're in people's yards.
Well, eating the azaleas.
You know, it's awful. It really is. And my peppers is starting to come up, and I know something been munching at them. I don't know.
Oh, you're fucked. You're fucked. If you don't have electric fences, you're screwed. By the way, it Lady B fulfilled my she met expectations. Pablo fucking Cruz. Love you, Todd.
What's up, baby? Love you, too.
Best song, Cool Lore. Yeah, I remember seeing Pablo Cruz. I remember seeing Pablo Cruz at the Norton Auditorium in Florence, Alabama. I think I was like a freshman in high school.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. How many people? Well, anyway, that's amazing. That, you know, that whole era, man, that was something. That reminds me of, like, Welcome Back, Cotter. You know, way back. Memories. Well, I guess maybe if we talk again, I guess we have to sign forms and make sure it's legal and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, well, and then I hear the secrets that you keep when you're talking in your sleep, when you close your eyes and you fall asleep. That's a creepy, stalky kind of song, too, but it just popped in there. But I still Afternoon Delight. That's still way up on my soft rock hit list. As I noted, Moonlight Feels Right. The cool thing about trivia. The cool thing about Afternoon Delight.
I had such a crush. Wait. Afternoon Delight. I remember I was in camp and I had a crush on this counselor, man, and she actually kissed me. And I was little, and she was fine. She must have been about 16, and I was little. Oh my God! And I'll never forget Afternoon Delight. It was perfect. I'm sorry. Go ahead. That was a vision.
No, I was just going to throw one more thing in. The Starland Vocal Band, Afternoon Delight. You know who the Starland Vocal Band was?
Captain and Tennille?
No. I think it was Bill and Taffy Danoff, and they had previously scored a real huge hit with a little ditty called Take Me Home Country Roads.
No way!
Way.
What?
And yeah, they wrote it because they were like hippies living in the D.C. area, and they thought that the Eastern Panhandle of West Virginia was West Virginia.
Wait a minute, but Bob Denver made that song popular, right?
John Denver. Bob Denver was Gilligan.
John Denver.
Yeah, and John Denver was pals with the hippies who wrote the lyric to Country Roads, which famously, while purportedly being about West Virginia,
has nothing about West Virginia in it, with the possible reference to the to an individual being a minor. M-I-N-E-R, not M-I-N-O-R.
That's it?
That's it. Blue Ridge Mountains? Sorry, not in West Virginia. Shenandoah River? Only nominally in West Virginia.
But it is forever associated with West Virginia.
Yeah, yeah. And so, you know, people come here, hey, where's the Blue Ridge Mountains? Sorry, that way. Need to go to Virginia for that, pal. But it didn't scan if it was just Virginia. They needed one more syllable.
Oh, that makes sense. That makes sense. Oh, that's the DJ. That's the DJ. You know, music is such an important part of most people's lives. You know, so it's nice to be able to talk about music and food and pleasant things on top of all this other crap.
Hey, we got to. We absolutely have to. Otherwise, you know, we lose our minds.
Yeah. Well, look, man, I hope some more people chip in, and I hate to see anything over 500.
Well, in the sincere hope that I would stop fucking singing, Jeremy just kicked in another... Jeremy just kicked in another $5, so we are now down to only $100 to finish last week, and then we got yesterday and today. So, you know, we'll keep plugging along.
It'll come through. It'll come through. Yeah. No, I really enjoyed our conversation.
Oh, I have. It's been a blast, and God, please let me finish putting the acorn together this weekend, please.
Mm.
Oh, wait. Jimmy's just jumped into the game. Baby, come back. And now you have to listen.
Oh!
To
yeah. Yes!
Any kind of fool could see. Yeah.
Come on, man. Come on. That's still fresh.
Oh, and Dave number 11 just parked one in the cheap seats.
They were dancing in the moonlight.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm.
I mean, this is turning into AM Gold with Bob and Todd.
Then we could slip in some Hughes Corporation. Rock the boat.
Don't rock the boat, baby.
You know, I don't know, but maybe it was the age, or you know, people just had more fun.
I don't know about you, but I thought the music was a lot better then. Yeah, people played their own instruments and they sang their own voices, and they didn't have any of that auto tuner thingy.
Well, let me say this for country music people, or country western.
There's some great stuff out there too. Mama's babies grow up to be DJs.
No, I mean, the Eagles are country western, but you know, going way back to like Ken Burns' country music, great documentary. I never knew that I would like a band called Tom Wills and the Texas Playboys.
Oh, how
that
could
was
you
some
not?
Good
no,
fucking
no,
music.
That, no, that was fantastic, and that's a different thing. That's Texas swing. I mean, that's hard to even. And oh, Mark just came up with one.
How long has this been going on? How long?
Oh. How long?
Oh yeah.
Oh, AM Radio Gold. Steve in New York says AM Radio Gold. Sorry, I just threw up in my mouth. Hater.
Is that what that stench is?
Yeah, and Lady B pointing out, yeah, but John Denver got Rocky Mountain High right. Study it out. Yeah, Bob. Oh, this hurts. Yeah, Bob, Lady B says, your singing voice could have left you single for life. Bless Agnes. Ask Todd if he remembers an R&B song called Misdemeanor.
No. Maybe by melody, not by title.
Oh, I'll check it out after the program. Meanwhile, Irish Dave says, if the request line is open, how about some Pat Boone metal, huh? Huh? Oh, dear. And Chicago, when they had moved into the era of schlock rock.
If you leave me now, You'll take away the very heart of me.
Ooh, that was a good band.
Yeah.
Do you know they played the Bicentennial in 76 on the Benjamin Franklin Parkway, downtown Philadelphia. And there were at least a million people there. I remember that. I was little.
Oh, but. And I got a cowbell for the quote from Robert in Australia. We have both kinds of music, country and western.
Huh.
Yeah, that right there. That played well. All right, before we make any more ears bleed, and that's not, you only sang a little bit. I sang a lot, so it's mostly on me. But we'll knock this off. Yeah, Bob Wills and the Texas Playboys. Yep. Urban Prospector, Baby Come Back. Most of these are songs that were embedded in my brain at the roller skating rink about grade 8.
You did that too?
I couldn't skate worth a damn, but songs embed themselves in my brain. Yes,
I remember.
And Lady B says, Schlock, If You Leave Me Now sucked, but they also covered I'm a Man. Yes, they did. And there is, for aficionados of the earliest great days of Chicago, there is an early, early, early jam version of 25 or 6 to 4 that will leave your mouth hanging open catching flies.
No way. Really?
Oh, I mean, yeah. Oh, what, Terry Kath? Just wailing the hell out of his wah-wah pedal, and I thought the strings were going. I thought it was just going to the strings were just going to start smoking and just melt off the neck of the guitar. One of my favorite YouTube videos. Yeah, that and I'll get hate mail for this. That and the live midnight special version of Manfred Mann's Earth Band doing "Blinded by the Light."
Yes.
Because
now you remind me of King Biscuit Flower Hour.
There are very few things I would like to have on DVD. I would like to have just the complete catalog of Midnight Special and the complete catalog of Don Kirshner's rock concert.
Don Kirshner, oh boy.
And then Paul, Letterman's Paul Schaefer. Paul Schaefer would go on in the early days of Saturday Night Live to do an exquisite impression of that weaselly, nasally voice that Don Kirshner had off to a T.
That was weird. It was the juxtaposition of seeing Don Kirshner host the show and all that great music behind him. It's like, man, you really talk like that?
Right, and then they did the bit where, and I think one of the great, the sketch that put it over the top was when he introduced Gilda Radner as Candy Slice. And what was the song? Gimme Mick. Yeah. there's a desperate attempt. Another of the member of Fraternity of David has jumped in and gotten us below the 500 mark. Hopefully, trying to get us to stop. Get me to stop singing, I suspect.
No, sing away.
Yeah, 25 or 6 to 4, book it, done, says Lady B. Saw Chicago at fucking Red Rocks Amphitheater. If it's the only thing you do, witness that theater. Oh, I'd love to. And by the way, Scary Jerry just jumped in and said, Brothers Johnson, stomp.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Yes.
Now, you still
hear a lot of that around here.
Jimmy in the Great Northwest says, James Taylor for the Horn family, you got a friend.
Just call out my name. Oh, wow. Randy in PA says, I got you one better for the bicentennial. I was at the North Bridge with President Ford in Concord, Massachusetts on April 19th, 1975. Whoa.
Wow. Well, yeah, that's Gerald Ford time.
Yeah, and that's you know, that's Midnight Ride of Paul Revere stuff. By the way, Shorty in L.A. says, YouTube, Chicago and Earth, Wind, and Fire live. And Chicago and Earth, Wind, and Fire both wrote songs for each other? I had no idea.
Me either. Get out.
And now, who was the backup?
That was a great show.
Who was the backup for Earth, Wind, and Fire? Answer, The Emotions.
LTD. What?
No, The Emotions. Wow.
No, The Emotions were backup.
According to Shorty, subject line.
They're good
subject,
in their own right.
Subject line, dead. You guys are killing me, says Lady B.
See, I remember that 77 or, yeah, I think it was 77, 78 tour with Earth, Wind, and Fire and LTD. I attended that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that was, ooh, yeah.
Then it was Michael Jackson. Oh, man.
Mother's Finest. You remember Mother's Finest?
Yes.
They played my tiny little liberal arts college in Missouri, and made my hair fly back like the guy in the Maxell tape ad.
You're kidding! They played a small school.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
They were kind of hardcore to be playing a small school.
Yes, they were.
Damn. In where? Missouri.
Yeah.
Missouri's kind of conservative, isn't it?
Yeah, not back then. They had to bring in a decent act once in a while just to keep us from losing it. Yeah. How about that? Okay, I didn't realize that. Chicago and Lady B tells me Chicago and Earth, Wind, and Fire shared horn sections. Tower of Power too. All the greats. Yeah, and there's Steve from Georgia Stan jumping in, in agreement with our buddy the Urban Prospector. Baby, come back, player.
Baby, come back.
Trivia note, Ridge from the soap opera Bold and the Beautiful is the lead singer. Brothers Johnson, says Steve, get the funk out of my face. Get the funk out of my face. Get the funk out of my face. Yeah, oh, mm-hmm.
See.
Yeah.
Well.
All right.
Man, I got to make some calls now.
Yeah, I got to make some calls now. All right. Todd, you take it easy, man. It's been fun.
You too, my friend. And I hope the weather agrees with you and your acorn.
Oh, no, it's going to shit on me for several days now. Here, let's just check and get it out of the way. Yeah, rain tomorrow, high of 62. Rain Thursday, high of 64. Thunderstorms Friday, high of 71. Rain Saturday, high of 78. Rain Sunday, high of 80. Oh, we might see that bright thing in the sky come Monday, high of 82. Thunderstorms Tuesday, thunderstorms Wednesday. Maybe see the sun come Thursday, a week from Thursday.
Damn, man, you guys are going to slide off the mountain.
No shit. It's tough, I'm telling you.
Well,
yeah,
dry wolf.
I've started something here. Trivia, Lady B trivia, misdemeanor, Michael Jackson Jr., Foster Silver. Sounds like code.
Foster Silver. Where do I know that name from?
And Lady B says, I hate you both. Oh, and how about that? Ron and Raleigh. Mother's Finest is still going, and they still play in Raleigh. I bet they raise the roof, too.
Well, that's because Raleigh's special. I talked about it, but that Raleigh, man, Raleigh Durham area is really special.
No, if you want, okay, I'm going to make your brain ache. This is going to go through Ron like a dose of salts. But I have heard there are people out there who have no idea what Raleigh is. You know that song Wagon Wheel?
By who?
Oh, I don't know. It's a country tune. It's popular.
I don't know.
It got covered a couple of years ago, got big. I heard it sung.
Country song?
Yeah. I heard it sung not as Raleigh, but Riley.
and they thought that it was
Riley.
Yeah, they thought Riley was somebody that the person singing the song was trying to get home to.
Oh God, that's so.
Open to God, I make Riley. Auto parts.
No,
stop it. Yeah, stop. Yeah, just. Late breaking news from Randy in PA. There's a volcano in Iceland that's erupting right now. Probably one of those with a a 29 letter name, and it may snarl European air traffic for years. Rain forms around particles. Well, I remember the last time that a volcano in Iceland fucked up air traffic because the particles would get sucked into the jet engines, and then the jet engines would not be jet engines anymore. And then the planes ran the risk of becoming subject to the law of gravity, with extreme prejudice.
That's interesting. This is the 40th anniversary of Mount St. Helens.
That it is. Yeah, I saw that story the other day. It reminded me that was one of those little data points where my life changed, because I was supposed to go that summer and work on a prehistoric archaeological dig as a high school student. And then Mount St. Helens put paid to all of that, and I didn't go, and life changed.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And you're still interested in that. I'm sorry that happened.
Oh, yeah, but just, wow. Anyway, let's get out of here, Todd. I got an upload to do.
Well, you do it, and your new interface is great and all that jazz, and so people pitch in a little bit here, a little bit there. We've got to tidy this thing up. We don't need these $400 and $500 balances hanging around and getting musty.
It'll be $6.95 by tomorrow.
See? All right. Try to stay dry.
You do the same, and, try not to hate on that deer family too much. I mean, it's not their fault. It's not their fault they're rats with antlers.
They have to have some discipline. I don't go in their yard.
Oh, I know. I know. And oddly enough, Agnes and I were, just two nights ago, Agnes and I were watching My Cousin Vinny. And there's the scene where Joe Pesci explains that he and the prosecutor are going to go deer hunting, and Marissa Tomei erupts in righteous indignation. Deer hunting? Imagine you're some little deer. You've just put your little deer mouth down into the cool running brook to get a little drink of water, and bang! Some guy puts a bullet through your brain. Oh, you're going to feel so good about that.
That shit.
And it's worth remembering, she won an Academy Award for that role. Lisa Vito. And she was wonderful.
Well, yes, she was.
Oh, yeah, you blend.
And Danny Aiello just passed away.
Oh. And so, too, by the way, the news broke that Ken Osmond, known to the world as, yes, Eddie Haskell.
Oh.
Passed away.
Donald Trump's idol.
That's a hell of a thing to say about the dead.
Well, I mean, he was that glad-handing, fucking kiss-ass.
An entire generation learned the meaning of the word patronizing from the way that Ken Osmond played Eddie Haskell. Oh, those cookies smell delicious, Mrs. Cleaver.
You know, that shit, I just wanted to reach through the screen and smack that motherfucker. It's like, just shut up, man. It's just too syrupy. Stop. Just stop. Nobody believes you.
Exactly. No.
But I'm going to go into sales. I'm practicing.
No, come on. Todd, let's get out of here, man. I'll talk to you later.
All right, peace out.
See ya. Oh, that was fun. After as much craziness as any day is filled with, just to horse around a little bit and carry on, have a little fun, goes a long damn way. And thank you, Todd, for playing. Your parting gift is a year's supply of Rice-A-Roni, the San Francisco treat. Thanks, everybody. Thanks to y'all who got us down below $100 to go to finish last Friday. Thank you so very kindly. We'll keep this going as long as we can. Thank you to our thank you in the chat room. I hadn't been by there in a while, but thanks to Brother Deacon Asa and Steve from Georgia Stan for jumping in, moderating wise. Thank you kindly. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thank you to the bravest, hardest-working people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20-plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And always, 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 Gina. It's all for you. Wash y'all's hands. Don't touch y'all's faces. Stay home if y'all can. And if you see a maggot coming to you, toward you, go as fast as you can the other way, as though they were the plague. Because there they are with their unwashed hands and their unmasked faces, spewing their particles, spreading disease. Avoid them like the plague, because they are. Later, y'all.